talked about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Why can't you treat me the way I would be treated by any stranger on the street?
Because I am not one of your fans!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Asperger's syndrome, a condition related to autism that often produces an aversion to social contact.
Obsessive interests are typical, and this focus on one subject with exclusion of others often contributes to their social isolation. Insistence on routine is nearly universal. It is possible that any change in routine can cause a meltdown.
Bean's an asshole.
Yeah!
And now...
So, Robin, what's up to do for fun around here anyway?
This town isn't real big on fun.
Mm. Well, there is one place that's open.
Our feature presentation.
And that is us, ladies and gentlemen. We are the place that is always open 24/7 here at the world famous K-Rock. Hi, kids. How's it going today?
It's going okay.
Lisa, why do people not want you to do traffic that work at this radio station? Why are you being sabotaged every day? Why are you the only one who's working in a war zone?
I don't understand. I think it's because other people use this computer all day. Mm-hmm. So I come in and I can't, nothing's happening. The screen is blank. Nothing ever works. I go in, I restart it. Dave comes in. He says someone was working on it. It doesn't work. So I'm on my iPad trying to get everything done. I'm going to open up Windows in the other room on another computer.
Fire beer mug.
Well, that can't hurt. Let's face it. That may not solve this problem, but it'll solve a lot of other problems.
Are you sabotaging? What? She's going to go and I'll never have another problem. It was beer mug the whole
time.
How
dare you?
I wouldn't doubt it. He just likes to see you squirm or something.
Well, so I am
Right before you come in every day, he pours a Diet Coke into that keyboard or something. Something's going on.
I never know what I'm going to find.
It's not Diet Coke, Bean, by the way.
Oh, that's true. What am I thinking? What the hell would you be doing with a Diet Coke?
Fire beer mug.
All right. It is Wednesday morning. Thank you for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show, and a special hello to all of our podcast listeners around the world. It's amazing throughout the day and then later in the week and then sometimes, you know, later in the month, we get emails from people who are just catching up on shows. So we appreciate the dedication to try not to miss anything. It's awesome that you listen. Here's a story to get us started that I think you'll like very much. We go to Covington, Kentucky for this one.
Okay.
18-year-old Austin Whaley and a few of his buddies. Now, don't do this. This isn't a good thing to do. But if Kevin were here, this would be his favorite thing that anyone has ever done, because this is so the type of thing that he loves. They decided to run into the old folks' bingo hall there in Covington, Kentucky, and yell bingo.
Okay.
Thinking it would be hilarious, and it is actually kind of hilarious. Police Sergeant Richard Webster, however, who was on the scene at the hall, which was mostly filled with elderly women after the false bingo shout, said at first everyone started moaning and groaning when they thought they'd lost. When they realized it wasn't a real bingo, they started hooting and hollering and yelling and cussing.
Ooh,
people take their bingo very seriously.
Okay, they're getting angry now.
So Mr. Whaley was arrested and issued a citation for second-degree disorderly conduct. The police officer explained to him, just like you can't run into a theater and yell fire when it's not on fire, you can't run into a crowded bingo hall and yell bingo when there isn't one.
They arrested him?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Now, I'm no First Amendment expert, but there is a difference between endangering people's lives by yelling fire in a crowded theater where somebody could literally get hurt or worse trying to leave the theater, right? Because they think there's a fire.
Yes, because people aren't going to run out
right
and stampede if you yell bingo.
It seems to me like that is a dick move, but maybe protected by the First Amendment.
I think
it seems
right.
Like the worst that could happen is grandma thinks she lost her card. Anyway, so the police officer is angry, says, hey, all of this could have been avoided if only the boy had apologized. He seemed to think he could say whatever he wanted because it was a public building. I tried to explain to him that that was not the case. He is going to court, obviously. There's a district judge. Take it back. He actually has been to court already. And this is where I bring you guys into the picture. What's the sentence for this guy? He was eligible. The maximum punishment for this could have been 90 days in jail. And a $250 fine. That's for second-degree disorderly conduct. You're the judge. You have the extreme authority. What do you give 18-year-old Austin Whaley?
I give him 20 hours community service.
Not even. I think that's laughable in court. He just yelled bingo at a bingo parlor.
But he's a dick.
Well, that's hilarious.
Make him clean up some trash. He doesn't care about the old people.
So as a judge, your take, Beer Mug, is that's hilarious?
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
So what do? You just say, get this out of my courtroom, don't come back?
I have basically more important things to do, yes.
Well, here's what the judge handed down. He said, do not say the word bingo for 6 months. If you avoid saying the word bingo for 6 months, really? The charge will be dismissed.
Awesome.
That's hilarious.
That's a lot of leeway, I guess, you have as a judge if you can do that. Because that seems unconstitutional also, by the way.
But if it's Kevin, he can't. He can't resist.
That's true.
There's no way
he can walk around saying bingo all the time.
Yes.
So anyway, so there you go. And I hope they rip the stories right from the headlines for Law and Order. I hope they get that one up there on the screen. Very much like to see that.
Fire beer mug.
Right, exactly. All right, let's talk about today's all-new program, shall we?
If you're saying that's too repulsive, you're right.
Yeah, I might be right about today's show. Kevin Smith is going to be joining us in studio. He always has a bunch of stuff to talk about and a bunch of personal appearances coming up that he wants to invite you to personally. So he's one of our very favorite directors on the program today. And speaking of movie directors, how about Harmony Korine? He is the director of Spring Breakers, which, as you pointed out, Lisa, yesterday, surprisingly, because it just looks like a teen sexploitation movie, it seems to be going over pretty big with people.
Even reviews from professionals, they like it.
They like this movie.
Yeah.
So apparently it can be good and sexy at the same time. Ralph Grauman is going to be in a tuxedo at least today because Jenna Louise Coleman is coming in. You don't recognize her name, but she is the latest cast member to join Doctor Who on BBC America. And you start getting into the Whovians world, man, and they are passionate. They are crazy people about Doctor Who. So I'm very excited about looking forward to her. And her longtime boyfriend is on Game of Thrones.
Is he?
How bizarre must their life be?
Yeah,
boy, did they have a lot of options in life. The fact that they're still together is amazing, right?
Yep.
Adam Carolla joins us for This Week in Rage on the program today.
Yeah.
Thank you. Cousin Sal is going to be on talking about the NCAA tournament because it is that magical time of year known as March Madness. And we also have highlights, I'm sorry to say, from an hour of my life last night on the Fox channel. Excuse me, on ABC last night. Sorry to put that on Fox. It wasn't you this time. Celebrity Diving.
Yeah. Yes, I can't
Splash
wait.
Splash is the show.
Can't wait.
And that was on TV.
And you had to watch it.
At least one person watched it, and it was me. And you'll hear highlights of that. That's coming up along with Ralph Garman's Showbiz Beat right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. There was a contestant on this week's episode of Britain's Got Talent that may put the Armenian comedian out of business. He's that good.
Really?
Yeah.
That's exciting.
I didn't know the Armenian comedian was in business, by the way.
That's an excellent point, Ralph. Yeah. We'll hear highlights of his comedic set that everybody in Britain is talking about coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, right when we left yesterday on yesterday's show, Ralph, you were asking for a moment with Kevin. That,
previously on the Showbiz Beat.
that apparently had not been put together yet.
Right.
Apparently they have rectified that situation for you, and apparently we have that for your enjoyment now.
You
so here we go.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
George St. Pierre seems like he's been trying to take the top road, but I don't know that he's been able to do it.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Is that top road, man?
Is that near the high road, or are they unrelated?
There's a turnoff. There's like a jug handle. From the top road, you can get to the high road from there, but it's not the same road.
So when you get to the fork in the road, you should take it.
Yes, exactly.
As they say. All right. 5:55, it's Wednesday morning. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning.
Lady Aloha!
That hurts my ears.
Celebrated.
Hurts my soul.
Celebrated her her upcoming 90-day-long days without any booze or drugs in her rehab by partying last night.
What?
Woo-hoo! Whoop, whoop. She pulled up outside an SUV in a... outside a hot Hollywood nightclub in a blanket that she wore over her head to attempt to enter the club without anyone knowing who she was.
She's such an idiot.
She really is. How can you draw any more attention to yourself? Oh, let me see. What if I put a blanket over my head? Then everyone will have to notice me.
Hey, Ralph, you can get liquor at home now, right? I mean, you can
sure
buy it in a store and just drink it in your house.
You know what? They'll bring it to your house.
Uh-huh.
You can order it, and they will bring it to your house, and you pay with a credit card.
If you're interested in not being seen out drinking, there are options, correct?
She's got a club, man. She's got a party at the club. Okay. Fish got to fly.
Stop doing what you're doing.
Bird's got to swim. Beer mug's got a diet. Everything's got a function.
You see that
fire
burrito?
Beer mug.
Yeah. See the burrito he's eating?
Oh, yeah.
That's a full 2-pound burrito
That's
right there.
Before we go out for food.
It's bigger than my pickup truck. A lot of love in the air. A lot of love. New relationships springing up left and right. Here's an odd one from Star Magazine. Amber Heard.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good start, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great start.
And Russell Simmons.
Really?
That's strange.
It is. Quite an age difference there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Star Magazine reports they were spotted at dinner together, getting cozy, and Russell kept rubbing her shoulders and touching her legs.
That is an enormous upgrade for Mr. Simmons compared to that shrew he was married to.
Hell to the But what about Amber? She was dating Johnny Depp.
I know.
Yeah, what happened there?
It was a downgrade for Amber.
Right.
Congratulations to Bradley Cooper, since we're talking about new relationships. I don't know if you had heard or not, but Bradley is now apparently dating British model Suki Waterhouse.
Oh, I'm sure she's ugly.
I don't know if you're familiar with Suki or not, but...
I'm not.
Jeez.
She a good deal?
Yeah, Bradley is 38 years old. Suki, of course, is 20. 18 years. You got to work hard to be in your 30s and find an 18-year difference between you and your girlfriend. That's really, that's commitment on his part, and I appreciate it. While we're talking about age, it looks like the lawsuit against IMDb, the website you use to find information about actors and actresses, as well as other projects, is going forward. A federal judge refused to toss out the lawsuit by an actress named Huang Huang, who got all ticked off after the website published her real age.
Yeah, remember she said she'd never work again because she was like 3 years older than she claimed to be or something.
6 years younger than her. She put a date on her website on the IMDb on her page that was 6 years younger than her real birthday. And IMDb, which is concerned with being factual, did a little research and checked out and got her actual age and posted that instead. And she claimed she was fired from a film after producers learned what her real age was.
Unbelievable.
So she's going forward with her lawsuit, and the judge says this is legitimate enough to hear out, so we will get to see the lawsuit played out in court.
Lisa, when you turned 23 last week, you were telling us that you thought this lawsuit was BS, right?
Total BS. I don't understand.
I don't either. First of all, shame on her for lying about her age, and I can see why IMDb would want to be concerned with truthfulness.
Yeah, they're not
known as like a fact-checking website, so I think they have to go out of their way to try to be as accurate as possible.
You could make the choice of not putting anything, couldn't you, in terms of age?
I don't know.
I think they consider that standard biographical information.
Yeah, I think they do. I think they automatically put it up there.
You could go to Wikipedia and get the same information.
She's on that Wikipedia page every day changing it back.
But you can lie on Wikipedia. It's pretty easy. It's harder to do on IMDb. Anyway, we'll see whether she has a case or not, whether her actual age ruined her career or not.
So what was it? I'm sorry, Ralph. I missed the very beginning. So this is going to court? That's where we're at right now?
The judge said yes. This is a legitimate lawsuit and is going forward. The trial will start April 8th. Unless there's some sort of out-of-court settlement where IMDb writes her a check or something.
I'd love to hear what the producers say is the reason for firing her.
I'm just scared we'll never see Huang Huang in another production. Because
I know.
I'm a huge Huang Huang fan.
I have to look her up on IMDb.
See if she's ever done anything.
She's a giant of cinema. I don't know how they're going to make movies this year without her being available.
So looking forward to the next Huang Huang film. Looking forward to Tyler Perry's Huang Huang. That would be good. And Psy's got a new single in the works.
Oh, does he?
Yes. Psy's follow-up to Gangnam Style is called Ass-Arabia. Ass-Arabia.
I rented that over the weekend.
No, you did not. But Psy's afraid that the title may actually offend Arabs and or asses. So he's considering changing the title and some of the lyrics. Here's the thing. Ass-Arabia is a Korean term, which means expressing yourself sexually.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So it has nothing to do with asses or Arabs, but he's afraid that there may be some misinterpretation of his lyrics and or title, so he's going back to the drawing board and reworking some of that. So we have to wait a little bit longer for Psy's follow-up hit from Gangnam Style.
There is a teaser clip available on the web, though, if you want to hear some of Ass-Arabia.
I'd
do have that
to hear Ass-Arabia.
Birthday
It's my candle blowing birthday.
I think it sounds fine the way it is.
I don't believe that's Ass Arabia at all. I believe that's the cue for the celebrity birthdays. Spike Lee's 56 years old today. Model, actress, and businesswoman Kathy Ireland. I think she's still designing clothes or furniture or something. Stained glass. I don't know. She's designing something. She's 50 years old. Actor Michael Rapaport is 43. Cedric Yarbrough from 40-Year-Old Virgin in Reno 911. He's 40 years old.
That guy's an entertainer.
That's different, Cedric.
Oh.
Chester Bennington of Linkin Park. He is 37 years old. Bianca Lawson from Pretty Little Liars and Vampire Diaries is 34. Jamal Crawford from the Clippers. Is every day am I going to have a Clippers player on this birthday list?
Yes, you are.
He's 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kevin and Bean Show, Wednesday morning. All this week, we are hooking you up with tickets for System of a Down, July 29th at the Hollywood Bowl, and you qualify for a trip to see them play in Milan, Italy. Got another chance for you for that next hour between 7 and 8 here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Gaddis Candace is his name, Lisa. He is the new comedy sensation that the whole world is talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Gaddis Candace is his name. He is a Latvian comedian, and I'm on his Twitter page right now, and he's got a lot. He's got a lot going on. He's one of these guys who tweets jokes all day long.
Well, people in Latvia in general are funny.
I did not realize that.
Yes,
it's good to know. I was raised together with animals, not in the same room, but at the same time. It's one of his jokes. When it's my chicken's birthday, I take it to the grocery store because my chicken likes to look at the eggs. I wonder if translation is part of the problem. Translation into English is part of the problem with some of these jokes.
I hope.
You hope there's something.
I do.
I like trying to figure out the jokes. I can count till 10 with my eyes closed, but I won't do it now because that would be showing off. Now, is there a joke? There's a joke somewhere? No? Well, the reason we know about Gaddis Candace at all is because he was on Britain's Got Talent this week. That's the show that obviously was the, you know, the one that we have America's Got Talent here with Simon Cowell, and Britain's Got Talent is the one in Britain. Carmen Electra is one of the judges, and they've got some actress chick or singer chick that I don't know, and then they've got some comedian guy that I don't know. They're obviously British celebrities. So this comedian gets out on stage, and he's unbelievable. I mean, you hear him on Twitter, but he's unbelievably awkward on stage in front of an audience, which is weird because he's a comedian. Here's how the set begins on Britain's Got Talent.
Okay, hello. Are there any guys with big muscles in the audience?
The audience is just like, what? And I don't know what kind of reaction he expects, but...
No, good, then I'll talk about them. You know, those big muscles make those guys so heavy that they cannot ride a pony... however, they can break a fragile toilet seat.
Okay.
That's a joke?
I guess they can't ride a pony, but they can break a toilet seat. That's
a fragile toilet seat.
That's how heavy they are. Now, here's what's going on that is the beautiful thing about the entertainment world. This happens with movies. This happens with music. Like our friend Gillionaire is a perfect example. It's bad, but then it gets to a point where it's so bad that you start to become interested in it and then fascinated in it, and then you can't turn away from it. Then you actually start to like it. I don't know how that works, that something can be so bad that it ends up being good. But you guys are with me. That's a thing, right?
That's the Armenian. That's all that explains the Armenian comedian. Yes.
All right. So they can't, the big guys, the muscle guys, they can't ride a pony, but they can break a toilet. Let's see where he goes next.
I mean, do they work out to attract the ladies? Well, actually, the ladies are attracted to what's inside of a man. Back me up, ladies. If you agree, say yeah.
Now, the audience is just sitting there. They're confused, but some of them are kind of laughing. But they're laughing like while they hold their, you know, their hands over their mouths because they don't want to be laughing.
Yes.
Kind of. But it's starting, I hate to say this, watching the clip, it's starting to get a little bit of momentum. They seem to now kind of be on his side a little bit. They went from confused to, hey, this guy's making me laugh.
Rapidly moving on. public toilet. Can't live without them. Can't live in them either. Because there is no fridge and microwave there.
Okay, now you're starting to hear some boos from some people who are maybe not on board with Gaddis Candace. But apparently you can't live in a toilet because there's no fridge and microwave, he says. Now, that's the comedian on the panel who now is laughing, and I believe that Simon, in a minute, is going to be weighing in with his opinion.
Often when I use the male toilet, some guys there fart very loud, and I don't like that. So when possible, I sneak into the ladies' toilets instead, because they're much more discreet about it. Well, at least when they know that I am there.
Okay.
Yes?
That was kind of a joke.
Was it?
The first of kind of a joke, yes.
And by the way, listen to the audience. They really went for it. I mean, that's
they weren't expecting an actual joke.
Now, I don't watch these Got Talent shows, but I thought that they at some point gong you or pull you off or stop you or they've heard enough like they, you know, do on American Idol where
yeah.
they feel like they've heard the act. But for whatever reason, they let him keep going. He's still up there, and I think even he's surprised that they want more.
Seeing is believing, and weighing is relieving.
Okay, he lost me there.
More. Are you well?
Yeah.
No, you're not a well. You're a person.
Okay. Are you well? No, you're not a well. You're a person.
Boo.
That's already been made into a T-shirt in Britain. People
really?
Are wearing that joke. And that was his big show closer, I think. Listen to the crowd. And I think this is where now Simon is going to say what the audience has been thinking all along.
What is going on here? You are the funniest, unfunniest comedian I have ever heard in my life. I mean, absolute rubbish, but it actually really, really made me laugh.
Yeah, that was my aim, to make you laugh.
Well, you certainly did that, Gattis.
It was so bad that it was actually brilliant.
Yeah. You mustn't change. You seriously must not change.
Okay.
Not
even there you go. There's Gattis Candace All from right. Latvia, who is moving on to the next round on Britain's Got Talent. So please enjoy. Writer, director, actor, podcaster, he does it all. Kevin Smith joins us in the 7 o'clock hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Also, director Harmony Korine from Spring Breakers and Jenna Louise Coleman for You Whovians. Doctor Who coming back to BBC America soon. She'll be joining us as well. Lisa May, there are lots of single older people in America these days.
Oh, you bet. People are getting divorced at 50, 55, 60, 65.
Yep. Absolutely. You're absolutely right. They find themselves back in the dating pool for the first time in a long time. And what do you do? Well, and also people are living a lot longer, too. So, you know, there are a lot of widows and widowers, too.
Yep.
You could be 80 and all of a sudden now you still could have 10 more years of life and you're looking for somebody. AARP has decided that they're going to put a dating service together. That's the American Association of Retired Persons, very popular group. They have put a dating service together so that people who are above 50 can go on and find somebody of an appropriate age. Now, the first thing I thought when I thought about this is it's going to be all chicks on this site, because guys are not going to go on a site looking for a woman over 50, right?
Well,
they're still going to be looking for 25-year-olds, even if they're 60.
Normal, mature men who don't have a ton of money may realize that they have to date in their pool.
It could happen. Oh, how disappointing for them. But anyway, we wanted to find out more about this. It's the fastest growing dating website in America, the AARP online dating service. So we asked producer Dave if he would line somebody up for us. And I believe we have Milton Cuthbert. I believe he joins us on the phone from AARP right now. Mr. Cuthbert, welcome to the show, sir.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
It's great to have you. It's no longer true that just because someone is over 50 that they need to just sit around and be by themselves anymore, right?
Absolutely not. That's what the site's all about. Hold on a second. V8. Oh, damn it.
Did we catch you playing bingo right now, Milton?
Caught me in the middle of morning bingo, but that's okay. I can keep one eye on the card and one eye on the phone.
Right. We appreciate that. So, how big is the dating site? Do you have numbers? How many people are using this in America now?
Well, it's new, so we don't have as many members as a lot of sites do.
But
it's growing all the time, and it's powered by an online dating site called How About We.
How About We?
Yeah, it's a site where you say, how about we go to the beach?
Oh,
you put
yeah.
put that out there, and then someone who wants to do something like that responds to you. And this way you have an opportunity to meet someone who has similar interests. So if I say, how about we play some bingo, then I see who responds to that, and next thing you know, I've got a date for bingo.
Now, do you have a date there with you today, Mr. Cuthbert?
I don't, no. I didn't work out. About bingo up there, and I didn't get any responses today, but, you know, tomorrow I'll say, how about we go to a swingers party, and then I'll get a date for that, and then we'll go knock boots with some strangers.
You go to swingers parties?
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm looking for most on the site. I want a woman who's kind and sweet, but mostly I want a freak.
With great flexibility, I bet.
Well, it's hard now. Women in the age group that I date, they tend to break a hip.
Oh, yeah. That's unfortunate.
I'm 78 years young, but some of the women my age simply can't keep up.
Yeah, I can understand that. You know, you kind of led me into this. I was worried to offend you to ask if it's okay to talk about sexual preferences and things like that on the site, or if it's you know, it's a little classier than that.
Okay, it's mandatory when it comes to me, because if the girl's not putting out, I'm not interested.
But
for God's sake, they've been around long enough to know they got to spread them.
Milton.
To get anything going with me, for God's sake.
Dear God.
I'm pretty well off. I've got a few bucks in the bank, and, you know, I ain't saying she's a gold digger.
No, we understand. Just you leave it right there. That's
that's
fine. No, we understand. We understand what you know? Yeah, understand. Yeah. So, do you date? You strike me as a guy who doesn't date age-appropriate women, though.
I do. I like them old.
Do you?
I do, because they're so grateful.
Oh, God.
They really appreciate anything you throw their way. They're up for it, because they know if they don't, they're going to be lonely living with their cat.
Right, so you've got that to hold over.
Look, get to put on the ball gag, and let's get to the dungeon, and let's put you on the rack, or else you're going to go home and watch Matlock reruns by yourself, and you're going to die alone. And many women are afraid of that, so they'll get freaky with me and wear their ankles for earrings.
You are a silver-tongued devil, man. How could a woman turn away romantic charm like that?
Look, I don't have much time for flim-flam or for any of that flowery conversation. I don't have much time left on this planet. So
I understand.
It's time to get to it and, you know, juice them up and go. That's what I say.
Juice them up and go. Take nothing away from today's show. That's the thing.
That's
so AARP dating site is where you want to go if you want to meet great men like Milton.
Yes.
Spike their geritol. It was roofies, and the next thing you know, they're waking up in a dumpster.
Well, that sounds like a recipe for jail. I'm sorry, Milton, but I'm glad we had a chance to talk to you. Good luck. Well, congratulations.
Welcome to Splash. If you thought that was incredible, it is just a taste of what's to come. Hey, everybody, I'm Joey Lawrence.
And I'm Carissa Thompson. Get ready for a television extravaganza unlike anything you've ever seen before.
Unless you saw Celebrity Diving, which aired in January of this year.
What?
Come on, Splash. It's not unlike anything we've ever seen before. There was a show just like this on in January.
No, this is very different.
Splash was on ABC television last night, and you did not mishear that. That is the Whoa guy, Joey Lawrence, doing some hosting, along with Carissa Thompson, who, by the way, I'm not that familiar with from her work on ESPN, but she did a really good job. It was an hour-long show with celebrities diving, Lisa. That's what was on my TV last night.
I can't wait. I want to hear
now,
all
Chip,
about it.
Now, Chip, who answers the phones here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Chip. How are
Hello.
You here? You tried to watch some Splash. What happened to you? Where'd you get derailed?
I tried to watch it just for the train wreck aspect of it could be so bad it's amusing.
Yes.
I lasted about 3 minutes in when the divers were they're doing the big introductions and the divers were in suit, like dresses, and jumping off the diving boards. And
they were jumping off the high diving clothes?
There was professional divers diving, and then like all the stars were walking out in robes and stuff. And I'm like, I'm
you
out.
Just couldn't. You
yeah,
couldn't hang.
Three minutes. I turned over to the following.
Now there are some. They've got some legitimate swimming experts. If anyone cares about that, I mean, Greg Louganis is the coach. I mean, he's maybe the greatest Olympic diver of all time.
Yes.
So here he is talking about some of the celebrities that are going to be appearing on Splash.
We have such a broad spectrum of celebrities. Yes. I've got 4'2".
Now that's Chewy, the little midget from the Chelsea Handler show. 4'2".
And 7'2".
That's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who is, it's kind of sad.
I can't imagine him diving.
I hope he doesn't need the money. I hope that's not what's going on here, is that he needs the cash. He's 65 years old. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar should not be basically jumping for peanuts on television at this point, should he?
No.
He's a legend.
I have 117 pounds all the way to the end.
And I think that's Kendra Wilkinson, the playmate.
And 417 pounds.
417 pounds.
He does not.
And that is Beer Mug, who is on Splash. I'm sorry. Pardon me. It was Louis Anderson. I was thinking it was Beer Mug.
Some of them are overcoming fear of water.
Doggy style.
Diving takes a lot of courage because it's a free fall.
Now, here was my fundamental problem with the show, is diving takes a lot of courage. It's a free fall. They make it sound like you're jumping off 200-foot rocks into the ocean instead of 10 feet into a swimming pool, which little kids do all the time as they run to the end of those diving boards and jump in, and they have the time of their life. They tried to build this thing up to be like the Tower of Terrors or something when people get up on this diving board.
Are they diving off the high dive?
They're various ones. Some people are diving off the 10, some people the 16 foot, some people the 23, some people the 30. In fact, Catherine Webb, who might have been one reason that people tuned in last night, she's the University of Alabama quarterback's girlfriend that we all learned about during the national yes. championship game this year, the BCS game. She's Miss Alabama. So she gets up and she's the first one on the first day of training who is willing to dive off the high dive. And by the way, she's not doing a triple Lindy or anything. She literally is just stepping off the board and falling feet first into the pool, okay? You can't really get hurt doing that. But listen to the drama of her jumping into a pool, which, again, I say millions of people do every single day. But this is TV, so it has to be the scariest thing ever.
Catherine!
I've decided I would be the first one to go, just to go ahead and get it over with.
Oh, my God.
That is so high.
I'm not usually afraid of heights. But when you get up there, it's a totally different ballgame.
Now, wait, refresh my memory, Chip, because you might have seen this part. She's jumping out of a helicopter into the desert, yeah. right?
It's a free fall, Bean. You understand.
You walk up to the edge, and you're like, oh, my God, what did I just do? God, I'm so nervous right now. I did not realize it was this high until right. I got up here.
We get it. It's a diving board, and it's above the water, and it's higher than you expected. We get it. Listen to the music. They make it sound like we're watching Zero Dark Thirty, and they're going in to take out Bin Laden, don't they?
Catherine, be careful. That's 35 feet.
Oh, my God. I'm, like, shaking so bad.
Oh, my God.
Don't!
Do you think they're building up?
The water? Are they going to light it on fire? Does she have to jump through fire to get to the
nope.
water?
Nope, she just have to step off the board and just fall into the water, Lisa. That's all she's doing. Wait, hold on. I think she's almost at the end of the diving board. All right, here it goes. Here she goes. And applause.
Did you hear someone go in the background? Oh, my God. Like, yeah. It was right out of a scary movie.
Yes.
Are there
yes.
sharks in the water? I don't
nope.
understand.
No sharks either. Just a pool. Just in a swimsuit.
Piranhas?
Just dive. Nope. Just dropping them. All right. The only reason I really cared about the show, besides Catherine Webb in a bikini, and that I needed 20 seconds of that I was done with that thought, but it was Louis Anderson, because there's yes. nothing funnier than a fat guy in a pool, right?
He should be on The Biggest Loser. He's on the wrong show.
Yes, he's on the wrong show. He's 417 pounds, and Louis has a particular problem that I never even thought about until I watched Splash last night.
400 pounds going in the water? It's a lot easier than getting 400 pounds out of the water.
He can't get out of the pool.
This is so sad.
So they're doing everything but bringing in cranes to get Louis Anderson out of the water. Listen to this. It really does sound like one of those rescue operations when, like, a horse falls in the well.
Yes.
They come in with pulleys.
The first time I had to get out of the pool
wait.
Was my most embarrassing moment. It's humiliating.
I played professional football in the NFL, and it was still taxing for me to pull Louis out of the pool.
They got all these other celebrities from the game who are all standing around trying to get Louis out of the pool. It's really like one of these whales that you see on the beach that they're trying to figure out a way to move back into the surf.
Jeez.
Is what it's like.
Someone should get in the water.
I've had problems getting people in the pool. Getting him out of the pool was scary. Louis's got a long road ahead of him.
My goal is that I'm going to be able to get out of the pool on my own.
That's his goal. Hey, Muggs, can you get out of a pool on your own?
But are there stair or steps in this pool? How is it so hard for him?
Yes, there are. Of course there are. I guess he's too weak.
He can't pull up 400 pounds.
Look, I may be
if
fat.
If we put 400 pounds on you, can you imagine trying to climb?
He's so exhausted from the taxing, chore that is jumping into a pool.
I guess so. By the way, I don't even know if he's jumped into the pool yet. He may have just stepped into the pool off the side, but... This is one of the first of many times he cries on Splash last night.
Tonight, my goal is to shock everyone at how far I've progressed.
It's like a miracle.
It's like a miracle.
That I was given this opportunity. It's like someone was looking out for me.
Someone was looking out for him. It was a miracle that he was given this opportunity to be on Splash. All right, I know we're running desperately late. I'm warning the affiliates. We're running long because we have to play one more clip. This is from Louie, who actually is preparing to dive now. Now we fast forward past all the training, and he has walked up the steps to get to the diving board, which is the greatest accomplishment in his life.
You made it.
I made it, yeah.
You made it, Louie.
Thank you. Hi, Chris.
I mean,
there are no elevators on these.
There are no elevators. That's what I'm told.
Oh, my God. So two people carried me up.
So, again, he hasn't dived yet. He's just gotten to the diving board. And this is the congratulations and applause. Yeah, no kidding.
Well, Louie, 6 weeks ago, you literally couldn't get out of the pool.
It's true.
We saw the emotional interview. Here you are now standing on the 5-meter platform. It is 16 feet in the air. How did you get this far?
I think what I did was I had to, like, find my inner diver. Mm-hmm. And he was buried very deep, obviously.
Yeah.
And when I was a kid, I could never get up the rope.
All right, Louis is going to cry again. This is, again, going to be a deep emotional scar.
In gym class. So this is my rope.
Before the first dive, it's already been a success. Can we give it up for Louis, everybody? That's fantastic. It really is.
All right, here's the very last part of the very last clip you'll have to endure from last night's Splash on ABC, and it will be back next Tuesday night. Listen to who Louis is diving for, you guys. It's not just for him and all the fat kids.
Yeah, this dive is this is for the troops.
For the troops.
And for all the service people all over the world.
And all the veterans out there, I'm diving for you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Good luck, Louis.
Thank you.
High fives.
Yeah, high fives.
High fives. He's diving for the troops. This is for people so they have the strength to get through another day in a foxhole in Afghanistan. At least they're out there going, oh, Louis is diving for me in Hollywood.
God bless him.
Chip, you made the right decision. Check it out after 5 minutes, my dear.
Yep.
A lot of people in the audience look pissed.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Ralph, I want you to know I'm only diving for the troops, okay? That's the important thing here.
You have to go inside and get your inner diver. And then get that guy out of your butt. And then you jump in the pool.
Kevin Smith joins us after the top of the hour, 6:54. It's Wednesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with the show, Biz Beat.
While we're talking about my good friend Kevin Smith, his best buddy, Bruce Willis, has a new movie coming out soon. A little film called G.I. Joe!
Yo, Joe!
He'll fight for freedom wherever there's trouble. G.I. Joe is there.
Yeah!
G.I. Joe!
A real American hero.
G.I. Joe is there.
It's G.I. Joe against Cobra, the enemy, fighting to save the day. He never gives up. He's always there, fighting for freedom over land and air.
G.I. Joe!
A real American hero.
G.I. Joe is there.
Now, this is the plastic toy we're talking about, right?
How dare you, sir? It was the hero of millions of young men everywhere. It was the man we aspired to be.
Okay.
G.I. Joe. And the new movie G.I. Joe Retaliation opens up in theaters everywhere March the 28th, starring, as I mentioned, Bruce Willis, Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson, Channing Tatum, Adrian Palicki. Yeah. They're all in it. If you want to see it, why wouldn't you? We're doing a special K-Rock advanced screening of G.I. Joe Retaliation March the 26th at the AMC Burbank. If you'd like to go, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First 5 callers to get through will get a pair of tickets to see our advanced screening. For more information about the film, you can go to gijoemovie.com. Oh, I can't wait for this. I love G.I. Joe.
Really? You're really going to go to this?
I
love just
the
saying
first
that to...
one, and I'm going to this one. Going to this one. Because I was a G.I. Joe kid growing up. I won't make you sit through the entire theme again, but I'm telling you.
Understood. Okay.
Hey, here's the thing. Stop with these videos, asking people out to do things and go places.
I agree.
With the celebrities.
Enough already.
And not because they're really super annoying, which they are, but they're working, and it makes me feel bad about myself. Remember that? I guess it all started with that that soldier or whatever asked somebody to the Marine Corps,
ball.
Or whatever.
Yeah, it was Mila Kunis, wasn't it?
Mila Kunis, yeah. Now there's this Jake Davidson, who apparently is from here in Los Angeles, from Milken Community High School. He's a senior, and he seems like a sweet kid, but he's a nerd. And he's got no girlfriend, and prom season's coming up. So he decides to take it upon himself to ask Kate Upton to the prom.
Oh, wow. That's overshooting a little bit, isn't
it? You think? Here's a little taste of Jake's video that he put up on YouTube.
Now, Kate, don't get me wrong. We have our commonalities. You like fine dining. I like fine dining. You're on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I read Sports Illustrated.
See what he's doing there? It's some humor.
He sounds really nervous.
Well, he was doing push-ups.
Oh, sorry.
That was like his workout sequence.
I gotcha.
He was talking to the camera.
Okay, well, it's creative.
I like fine dining. You like fine dining. You like sports. I read Sports Illustrated.
He should be shooting for the foreign exchange student with acne right now. He should be trying to get to go to the prom.
Exactly. So, imagine my chagrin when Jake was on the Today Show yesterday talking about his video, when they had linked him up and had a phone call from who else? Kate Upton.
No, she's not playing along with this BS,
Kate
is
Upton
she?
Kate Upton called in to the Today Show while Jake was being interviewed and said if her schedule's clear, she was absolutely going with him to the senior prom.
There's no way she's going.
I don't know, Lisa. She sounded pretty serious.
If her schedule's clear. Oops,
hey,
got that photo shoot.
Lisa's schedule was nothing but clear. She wouldn't go with the United States Marine to his ball.
That's true.
Come on.
I set him up with a playmate.
He didn't want a playmate. He wanted
better
you.
Time, trust me.
Look, he spent his whole youth fantasizing about being with you, Lisa May, and then you palmed him off on some chick he didn't know.
That's right.
He had a great time.
So we'll keep us posted, but it looks as if she's serious that she would go with him. She found the video charming and cute, and she said she would go with him.
Fast forward to 1 year when Kate Upton is marrying a high school senior.
Can you imagine not only this guy's life, how it would change if he took Kate Upton to the senior prom, but can you imagine the other 150 girls at the senior prom if Kate Upton shows up and you're at your prom?
That would ruin my prom.
It would ruin your night, right?
It would. And can you imagine how many videos will be made next year by all of the seniors for everyone?
Ooh, Kate, me too, Kate, me too. They work. I guess that's why people do them.
I guess, And by the way, she's also the best person in the world ever, too.
She is charming and sweet. Yeah. She seems really nice.
I like fine dining. You like fine dining. I like sports. You want Sports Illustrated.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, I'm sorry. Today's celebrity birthdays.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Hell's yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
If you don't sing, you don't get no birthday cake. If you can't swear, you can't have no birthday cake. If you can't swear, you can't have no birthday cake. If you don't sing, you don't get no birthday cake.
Happy birthday to Spike Lee. If you don't swag, you don't get a birthday cake.
That's right, man.
He's 56 years old today. Kathy Ireland is 50. I'd like to ask Kathy Ireland to the prom. Maybe I could put a video together. Michael Rapaport from Boston Public, another excellent films, including Mighty Aphrodite. Remember that? He was great in that film.
Yes, sure.
43 years old today. Cedric Yarbrough from Reno 911 and 40-year-old virgin. He is 40. Chester Bennington, our friend from Linkin Park, turns 37. Bianca Lawson from Pretty Little Liars and The Vampire Diaries, 43. And professional snowboarder Louis Vito celebrates his 25th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Don't you guys think that Beer Mug is on pace to be fatter than Kevin Smith ever was?
How about Louis? Louis Anderson.
Yeah, I think, Beer Mug's on
he's
Louis,
heading for Louis territory.
Yeah. Is that the new level, the new measurement?
Yes.
Weight measurement?
Louis. I think Louis.
How many
Louis
Anderson. Louis is that
I don't
is
know
that
if
truck.
That's a weight measurement as much as a measurement of dignity. Because I'm a fat dude. You couldn't get me on that show, man.
You couldn't get me on that show.
Well, why would they ever go after you, though, man?
No, I'm
you're
just
adorably
saying.
Thin.
I wouldn't,
if we're talking about the fat guy version of Splash, Lisa, you'd never be on it except to be like, I'm the host of Fat Guy Splash. I'm Lisa May with
I wouldn't get in a bathing suit on TV either.
I would watch that show.
Yeah. I would watch it if Lisa
you're
Rock
very
too.
Kind.
I would sit there and be like, I know that chick. Look at her in a bathing suit. Look at how she must use a depilatory of some sort. Look at her. She's hairless like an otter.
Think about how many years we've known Lisa Mae, Ralph, and we've never seen her in a bathing suit.
Is that true? Yeah.
I don't think we ever have.
I think
even
in
though
Vegas.
We've seen her naked, but not in a bathing
yeah.
suit.
Yeah, right.
Weird.
But Kevin Smith, tell me why. What would your fear be about a show like that? Does it seem dangerous to you to jump into water from
no,
a diving board?
No, that was the ridiculous aspect.
Because they do make it sound like it's the most terrifying thing in the world to fall into water.
You can heighten anything with score, man. Look, I'm a New Jersey Devils fan and a lifelong hater of the Philadelphia Flyers. I watched a documentary on HBO called The Broad Street Bullies, and because they slowed footage down and played very sad music, I was like, these guys are true American heroes! It's amazing! So I imagine all that fraught with peril type of score is just to kind of keep people tuned yeah. in to like...
Pumps up the drama.
They're diving, dude. Yeah. Like, this is where we are.
It's a
they're
pool
diving.
And they're jumping into it.
But I wouldn't
that's
do
all
that.
That's happening.
Right? They're jumping into cement.
No.
Nope. Just water.
It's just water.
Just water.
Oh.
No right. fire, no sharks. It's,
not
it's completely
it's not a pool
safe.
Of acid. It's a pool of water.
Little kids could do it and have fun. Now, Kevin Smith, you have been a very famous guy for a very long time. I know you've done a couple of things, like the Epic Mealtime, for instance, but have you been approached for a bunch of reality shows to get you on there?
No. Once somebody asked me if I wanted to do one with my wife called Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and this was like going back about seven, eight years ago, and I was just like, I couldn't imagine. And then years later, we started podcasting, and we do this podcast called Plus One, me and my wife, and it's pretty much the oral or audio version of what that would have been. Every
but
once in a while.
But still under your control, and
right.
you're putting out there what you want
the
to put out
the podcast version, absolutely. The
but
TV
never,
version they were promoting or they were approached me about, I was just like, I don't know.
But what about like Celebrity Apprentice or something like that? Would you ever do anything like that?
No, God, no. Not
why?
It's
Kevin
just not
dignity.
Me. It's not even about dignity.
And
like, honest,
life.
I want to save my desperate cards for when I really need them. Like, for example, when you see me at a convention, I'm never the guy signing behind a placard that says $25 or something. Like, I'll sign anything for free because I'm waiting until it's just like, we're broke, we're desperate, you know. And then I'll go to those hotel cons and start signing for money and stuff like that. And so me on The Apprentice or me... taking my man boobs out and you're watching them flopping as I dive into the water and it's like hitting me in the face with the G-force on the way down. That's something I would absolutely save until my wife was just like, the kid's got three more years of school and we're broke.
We're going to lose the house.
Yes. Then I'm like, okay, I'll take the girls out. Here they are, everybody.
Put them on the glass. You should become friends with Louis Anderson, though, because you would feel so thin all the time.
I feel all thin all the time right now.
You look good, by the way.
I don't need Louis Anderson in my life to feel thin. I feel thin all the time.
Again,
I lie to myself like crazy, but I feel thin.
Once again, Bean goes out of his way to welcome our guests.
Welcome this fat piece of poop, Kevin
no,
Smith.
No, what I'm saying is
that's
Louis Anderson.
Third strike, right?
Louis Anderson is 3 minutes. Exceptionally fat. That's all I'm saying.
I'm saying Kevin Smith has covered his weight in many other arenas, Dean. I don't think we really need to focus.
He's covering his weight right now with three layers of clothes, and he was already self-conscious until you were like, Kevin.
Bean is
how
an asshole.
Dare you.
Yes.
How many different sizes did you get that hockey jersey made in when they designed it for you, by
two. What to be specific, two. Though. That's a fair question. It's a fair question nobody's ever asked. Two. Because
thank
I remember
you, Kevin.
Hearing a story about John Travolta, two pairs of pants on the movies. He's got one pre-lunch and one post-lunch.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, really? Is that true?
So
and they were
weird.
Like, that is absolutely
so weird.
Hey, John, man, why do you got two pair of pants?
What? Wait. So weird.
Can't get an answer out of the guy. But ever since I heard that, I was like, that's not a bad plan, man. So when I started getting jerseys, I was like, look, let's be honest. Some weeks, months, years, I like to indulge. So
sure.
I said, let me get me
why
two
not?
Different sizes so I can go between. But it's always a kind of personal, like just like being on a plane and being able to put the handrest down and buckle the seatbelt, being able to fit in the smaller size tent size jersey is a true marker for me.
Feels good.
Yeah,
man.
That's why I don't kill myself every day like you're suggesting I should.
Not at all, Kevin. Not at
Kevin
all.
Kevin Smith, how do you wake up and live with yourself?
You know, if you rode an elephant, you would look absolutely tiny.
It would look like you were pooping an elephant.
Is in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's the only man-made object that can be seen from space, but you can actually catch him on stage at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood tonight. It's Jay and Silent Bob Get Old back on stage. Tickets just $20 at csmod.com. This is you and your friend Jason Mewes doing your show at the Laugh Factory. The Laugh Factory has turned out to be, I know it's not your regular haunt with Ralph, but it's turned out to be a fun venue for you guys, right?
It is. So yeah, this is about our third time here at the Laugh Factory, and so far, so good. It's, you know, me and Mewes are not comedians by any stretch of the imagination. We just kind of talk about our lives, so it's weird to insinuate yourself into a place where, like, I've driven past Laugh Factory my whole life, since I've lived out here at least, and always, like, see the lines and see the names up there and stuff. So it's weird going into a new space. It was fantastic always at the Lovitz, where we do Babble every week, except this weekend, damn it.
Yeah.
Thank God I'm here. We get our little taste, our little fix together.
That's right.
It's great to be at a space that you know very well, but it's cool to kind of branch out and see if, like, you know, you can draw across the hill. So far, so good. Man, it's the third time. It's Wednesday night at 10 o'clock, so whenever we bring a crowd, they're like, oh, my Lord, this is great. Who are you guys? Well, so it's a fun thing, man. But just before we were talking about, would I ever jump on any of those shows, and does dignity keep me off? Dignity must not be a factor, because, like, look what I'll go through for a plug for the Laugh Factory.
You're like being berate.
Oh, my. Look, there's a dude locked in a booth in Seattle wearing a furry costume from where the wild things are, and he's insulting me, and I have to take it because I'm like, I got to sell some tickets.
I am in no way insulting you.
No,
you've
been nothing but complimentary, really.
Also, tickets are on sale for Jay and Silent Bob's super groovy cartoon movie, which we have talked about, May 5th at the Wiltern. That is going to be a super fun night where you get to see this great, great, great new movie and also get the show afterwards with you and Jay. That's going to be awesome, too. And tickets are available for that as well at csmod.com. We'll take a break. Kevin Smith is here. We return in a moment on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. We're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ, hooking you up all this week with tickets to go see System of a Down. That's going to be at the Hollywood Bowl. Congratulations to Jose Toledo from Anaheim. He just won his, and
Holy
he's eligible.
Toledo.
Jose Toledo is eligible for the grand prize drawing to see the band one more time in Milan, Italy, don't you know? Kevin Smith in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Come on, let's hear it for Kevin.
Hello, folks. It was tough to get here, man. I was up late last night. I was working on Clerks 3 and having a good time.
You're on a writing jag, aren't you?
I am, man. Wow. I don't go. You call it a jag? Sounds dirty, man. When you put it like that. Yeah, I've been kind of rolling. Yeah, well, when you say I'm on a roll, then I feel like I should be on a diving board with Louis Anderson.
What's the format this week? Is it a book again, or is it a comic book, or is it a movie, or is it a miniseries?
Total,
what is it?
Total screenplay this week.
It's a screenplay again.
Yeah. It was a couple weeks ago. I put up a thing where I was like, "Hey, I just started writing." Put up a Facebook picture of the cover of the front page of the script. I mean, it doesn't even exist as a script, right? It's just a writing program. Mm-hmm. But I did a screenshot of the cover and put it up on Facebook, and it just got 150,000 likes or something like that. The thing that killed me is little metadata tells you how many people saw it. Like, normally I'll put up a picture and it's like 200,000, 400,000 people. This was like 8.8 million. I was like, God, dude, I know what it's like to be Justin Bieber and send a tweet.
Do you think, are you trying to tell the end of that story, or
yeah,
are you leaving
the last
your
one?
This is the last one.
Yeah. Last flick I want to make for theaters, and then the last flick in the Clerks cycle, if you will. Who knew there'd be a cycle? But yeah. So it was fun, man. It's cool. It's like hanging out with old friends, and this is that great time where, you know, before anyone else gets involved, there's no actors, there's no production crew whatsoever.
Freaking actors.
Yeah.
Oh, everything.
Damn puppets. But it's just you and the script, and you can kind of go anywhere with it, and you're rebuilding their world. I don't know. This is like a great time. I enjoy this part so much. The being alone in a room with those boys sounds dirty, but I enjoy it. So
writers often say the biggest heartbreak is the transition from everything in your mind that you saw when you wrote it to what actually ends up on the screen, that there's an inevitable loss. You can't translate everything, so there's some stuff that you're going to lose that doesn't quite translate.
I mean,
that's
yeah,
a bit of a disappointment.
I would love to say, hey, that's what Jersey Girl was, and Cop Out. Like, in terms of, like, the movie I saw in my head, we didn't quite get up there on the screen, but I've never felt like, oh, you know, I never rolled the Indian tear down my cheek, the sad, you know, Native American, for the fact that I couldn't get everything I wanted in the script. Like, you realize the script is a blueprint, man. You realize that, like, you'll deviate left and right. In the early days, I used to stick to it hardcore. And then you're just, when you bring people in and you have talented people involved, particularly people who, like, if you're working on a flick with Seth Rogen, here's a dude who can not only act but also write on his feet and whatnot. You never want to, like, I was going to say, you never want to C-block those people and be like, hey, man, I don't want you to do what you do here. What you do is fantastic, but do it in your own thing. I got my own crap to do. So over the years, you start welcoming in. Like, I had Will Ferrell on Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back and Chris Rock on Dogma. I think those were the two movies where I was like, you have some of the funniest people in the world. Like, don't just be like, no, just do the script. That's cool.
Right.
Like, let them do their thing and collaborate more. Absolutely. Yeah. And because you always get credit for it anyway. People are just like, oh, that moment. There was a moment in Dogma. There's a line where Chris Rock is talking about knowing Jesus. And the line he busts, which I don't even know if you could do on the radio anymore, is distinctly his. Like, I couldn't have written that line. But him saying it there in the moment, just like it was so good, it made the trailers and stuff like that. So wow. You open up and you let people bring stuff to the party as well, you know. But right now, this is the party just by myself, where it's me. I'm kind of laying the table, setting the table, so to speak, like writing the script, putting all the characters in there, making all the situations available to everybody who will eventually come on. Like Ralph. Ralph's got a part in the movie. Ralph's got two parts in the movie. And once everyone hits the table, boom, they can kind of make of the meal what they will and hopefully make it better, bigger and better than it is on the page.
Are you going to let
this
Ralph talk?
This sounds so ridiculous.
Are you going to let Ralph talk in your movie this time?
Ralph is definitely, he has lines already, man. He gets to speak. That was my mistake on Red State.
Oh, it wasn't a mistake. You kidding me? No. That guy got more traction for not talking in the movie than I would have if I had talked in it.
Totally. Absolutely. That was the avant-garde movie. Right. That's right.
And we at K-Rock were just happy to see him die. That was the bed for us.
And he went out bloody, man, too.
He sure did. Last time
I got out of this job, too, by the way.
Whenever I work with Ralph, it's all about bodily fluids, man. Because in Red State, it was all about the blood. And he's right. A voice in Jay and Silent Bob's super groovy cartoon movie. The character he plays, I can't even say on the radio.
You can say D-head.
He's D-head. He falls into a vat of acid and turns into this oversized living phallus.
Typecasting.
No doubt. And lots of stuff coming out the top of that dude's head all throughout the movie.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought up a Jay and Silent Bob super groovy cartoon movie, which is going to be at the Wiltern Theater along with the show afterwards, where people get to, you know, listen to you guys talk and ask questions and stuff. Because the last time you were in talking about it, we didn't have this clip that we want to play for folks to give them an idea of what's going on in the film. Listen up.
Look at you, man. I can't believe you wasted your free $5 on scratch-off tickets. Why didn't you buy something useful, you dumb fat Oh, my God, dude, we're rich. Woohoo! We are rich. I know just what we can do with all this fat cash, yo. Let's become superheroes. We'll need a secret base. We're going to need a sweet-ass, specially designed car with trip buttons, gadgets, and it goes doohickeys we can use in our two-man war on crime, especially the blunt saber.
Yeah. And the beauty of animation, you can do anything in your imagination, can't you?
Oh, you can get really filthy and dopey and dirty. The fun thing for me is, like, this is it's a comic book movie. I mean, it's a cartoon, right? So you can go anywhere with it. But it's a movie that's all predicated on comic book movies, comic book culture, the old Batman TV show, everything about geekness that I grew up with kind of got put into the script, and it plays out really nicely in the movie. Thank God it was a cartoon. It only cost us $69,000 to make. If we had made it as a feature, man, and dressed people up in these costumes and whatnot, it would have been like Louis Anderson on the High Dive. It would have been an absolute indignity for all. But being that it's a cartoon, you can ask people like Eliza Dushku, come in and do your voice and stuff. Neil Gaiman does it. Thank you. That was for Eliza Dushku.
That was for Eliza, yeah.
I thought it was for me for a second. Neil Gaiman comes in, does a voice as the butler. A bunch of people doing voices on it.
Sounds like a fun night.
Oh, it's a good time.
Really does. May 5th at the Wiltern. Tickets on sale through csmod.com. All right, Kevin is going out to smoke, but you're coming back for Ralph Showbiz Beat in a few minutes, right?
Heavens, yes.
We'll see you soon. And Harmony Korine, director of Spring Breakers, joins us next here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Something for the Doctor Who fans listening to the show today. Actress Jenna Louise Coleman joins us in about 20 minutes in studio. She plays Clara, companion to the Doctor. I don't know, Lisa, that we've ever had a Doctor Who guest on the program before.
I don't think we have.
So I'm very excited to open up that big can of worms coming up in a few minutes. First, though, Spring Breakers. That's the movie everybody's talking about. You know, it was only on 3 screens over the weekend, but made over $270,000. 8 times more than Oz the Great and Powerful made over the weekend per screen average. I mean, this thing is everybody is talking about it, and no wonder when you take a look at this cast and this director who's got quite the track record, Harmony Korine, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hey, Harmony, how are you?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. Thanks for being on K-Rock. I think we talked to you for one of your movies a long time ago, but it's been too long. How you been?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Just driving around Nashville right now.
All right. Spring Breakers is something completely different from you, and some people have said that it's kind of an attempt to make a mainstream movie. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't really care about any of that type of stuff. I mean, it is. I mean, obviously, it has more appeal and more. I guess it is more mainstream, just by virtue of who's in it and stuff. But it's more just. I was just attracted to these characters and this backdrop and this kind of the storyline and this kind of this whole kind of crime world of this underbelly. It was just something that I kind of wanted to do.
Right. In other words, it's something that just the storyline appealed to you, and if other people happen to be interested in that story more than some of your other movies, then that's fine. But this is the movie you wanted to make anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha. Now, I read one of the articles where you talked about how you were writing this thing, and you found yourself writing it kind of in the middle of a real-life spring break, and it sounded like even you were surprised at how crazy and how much debauchery goes on at spring break here in the 21st century.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't even that I was – I mean, because I had – you know, I was kind of familiar. You know, I'd grown up around, a lot of that in Nashville, and, like, you know, it was a real common thing, and people going there. And, like – but yeah, I mean, it was intense. I tried to write it in the middle of spring break in Panama City 2 years ago, and I was in these hotels that would just shake all night.
I have stayed in those hotels. It's a nightmare.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. Just like people vomiting on your door and like having sex on chandeliers, lighting the, lighting places on fire. I saw someone walking around with a human severed jawbone at a local motel parking lot.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was pretty gnarly.
And did seeing all that with your own eyes while you're trying to write a movie about spring break, I mean, that must have done nothing but, you know, kind of fuel your inspiration, kind of help you come up with ideas for the film, right?
Yeah, I mean, it did. It also made me like, you know, I was like, whoa, I got to get out of here. But it did. It was good because I was mainly there just for the details. I had the storyline, and you know, it's about spring break. But it's more of a metaphor. It becomes something else once this James Franco character comes on, and he kind of seduces the girls and kind of introduces them to this kind of like, you know, this kind of almost beach gothic underbelly. This kind of the world of the drug trade and the more beach noir.
I get what you're saying. I mean, it's so interesting. I love a movie like this that comes out and people don't just go, yeah, it's all right. I haven't heard anyone hate it. The only thing I've heard are people who either really, really like it or love it, but they all say the same thing, which is it makes them feel something. Usually it makes them feel uncomfortable. I mean, usually it makes them feel like they need a shower when they go home because it's such a slimy, seedy underbelly, and the way you shoot this thing is so lascivious, and obviously that's to set the mood, what you're trying to do. I mean, you definitely are getting a reaction out of people who see this film. No one is just bored by it, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. Honestly, you know, I want to make films, and I wanted this movie to be something that was a little bit different, that was almost more, it's like a physical experience. It's more like a ride. It's entertaining. It's obviously really entertaining, but it's entertaining in a different way. It's entertaining in a way that's more like a ride or almost like a drug experience, something that's really, it's kind of trippy and hallucinatory, and it has this kind of peak experience to it. I wanted to make a film that was, you know, difficult to articulate in words. It was more like a pop poem or something that, like, you know, that kind of that hits you in this other way.
Right, right. Now, this is the voice of Harmony Korine, the director of Spring Breakers in theaters now that we're talking to here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Obviously, you couldn't help but get a lot of mainstream attention just based on the fact that you have Selena Gomez and Vanessa Hudgens in this movie. Was it tough to get them? Was it a wooing process, or is this the type of thing that they were so excited to be able to be a part of just because it just obliterates their images?
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised. No, it was really not tough at all. I mean, it was really straightforward and you know, you know, once the film was written or as I was writing it, I was thinking about who could play the part and who should play the part. And I love the idea of working with these girls who are, like, in some ways also, you know, are kind of connected culturally to the storyline and this kind of pop mythology. And so I put the word out there, and then within a day, you know, they all responded. And Selena flew into Nashville, where I live, and auditioned for me in my house. And kind of, I was pretty blown away. They were, you know, there was no convincing, no cajoling, nothing. It was like, I guess they were at a place in their life where they were ready to, you know, experiment and push themselves and do things that were a bit more graphic, more intense, a different type of acting, and something, you know, they were just ready for it.
I'm just impressed that they were able to do the kind of acting you needed to do for this movie, because that's something they would have had no experience with. I mean, it's a completely different set of skills to be in this film than to be on The Wizards of Waverly Place. Let's face it.
Yeah, no, definitely. And part of that was, you know, there was a lot of, you know, obviously a lot of intensive rehearsals and prep time. And, you know, I was just talking a kind of different, you know, it's a whole different style because, you know, putting them in real places, real situations. It's a kind of strange, you know, manipulation of the truth, a kind of poetic reinterpretation of that world. And so, you know, a lot of times we were riffing, scenes were partly based on script, and then they would kind of develop and go into something more organic. And it was good, but it was also fun for me to mess with them a little bit and try to push them into some kind of, you know, some kind of unexpected way, some like what, you know, some situation where they hadn't experienced before.
Did you ever run into any problems with how famous they are when you're in these scenes with a bunch of kids who might be fans of theirs?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. It was crazy. It was technically really, really insane because, you know, we're shooting on, you know, in the location and places that were, you know, that weren't really controllable. And yeah, I mean, those girls, they have a kind of fanaticism and a chaos that follows them around. You know, people just, or, you know, or I don't know what it is about them, but kids just worship them. So it was insane. Yeah, we're always kind of on the run. We're always kind of being chased and having to hide. It made things difficult, but, you know, that became part of the style of the film.
All right, I know we're at our final minute here with director Harmony Korine. Did you ever have any problem with the acting getting out of control with the hundreds of extras who were pretending to party that actually ended up partying too much actual sex or too much actual drinking while you're trying to make a movie?
I mean, it was nuts. It was pure chaos. It was everything you can imagine and more going on. So, you know, I just, and just by the definition of chaos, you can't control it. So I kind of just went with it and just kind of, you know, they were tearing hotel rooms. They were tearing hotels down. They were, you know, destroying everything in sight. It was pretty much like, you know, debauchery times 10. But I kind of, in the end, it was, the energy was right for it.
You've got a new list of cities that they'll never permit you to film in again, Harmony. That's what it sounds like to me.
I can't wait.
Do not allow this man back in the hotel. The film is called Spring Breakers, and do I have this right? It's going wider this weekend. More people have a chance to see it, right?
Yeah, it comes out wide all over America this weekend. I'm super excited.
Sounds great, man. Hey, good to have you on again. It's been too long. Thanks for the time.
Thank you so much.
Kevin Smith, are you, like your friend Ralph Garman, over the moon about Doctor Who on BBC America?
I like the show. I don't watch it probably as frequently. Ralph, you watch weekly?
Yeah, I'm a total Whovian. Yeah. I've been on board since the 70s with Tom Baker. He was my first Doctor.
My heroes from Gallifrey.
I followed all of the subsequent Doctors, so I'm very excited to have the new companion on the show.
Who is the new companion?
The character's name is Oswin Osgood, and she is, it's very complicated.
But it is. How does he keep going through assistance? How do they figure this out?
Let's save that for after the top of the hour, because she'll be joining us.
Jenna Coleman
is going to be in studio with us coming up next, so we're very, very excited about that. That's on the way. Kevin Smith is here for the show Biz Beat Now with Ralph Garman on the Kevin Bean Show for Wednesday.
Since Smith is here with me, let's not veer too far away from the geek world, because that is maybe what we do best. And by the way, we are doing another Babylon on the 30th of this month. If you want to come out and check out Hollywood Babylon with me and Mr. Smith, we do it up at the John Lovitz. You can go to csmod.com to get your tickets. I believe a lot of the tickets are already gone for that week.
So isn't that crazy? Yeah. It's nice. It sells out without trying. Yeah, this is built a nice little thing here.
Very exciting news for people like Kevin and myself. Looks like Magneto and Professor X are getting married.
Not to each other.
Not to each other.
Because would end the war, right. Ralph. All the mutant war would come to an end.
Be brought together.
Totally.
But Sir Ian McKellen, who of course famously was Magneto in the X-Men movies, is officiating the wedding of his good friend Sir Patrick Stewart. Of course, many know as Jean-Luc Picard from Star Trek The Next Generation, but many know him best as Professor X from the X-Men movies. They've become best friends, and so Patrick Stewart's getting married at 71 to his 35-year-old girlfriend.
Really?
Yeah, and Ian McKellen will be the officiant.
Set phasers for young. Wow, man.
That's geek heaven. That is,
but that is amazing. That's awesome.
Is R2 the best man? I mean, come on.
No. There will be a
hobbit as a ring bearer, correct?
I think they will bring out a hobbit.
That's sweet, man. That's awesome. And I would like to be at that wedding to see Charles Xavier and Magneto in the same space. I'm all for that.
Yeah. Apparently, you can get married in Massachusetts from any friend or family member can do the ceremony for a one-time fee. You pay the state a fee, and then you're automatically allowed to marry someone in the state of Massachusetts. So that's how he's getting away with it.
I belong to the Universal Life Church. I can marry people.
So
here.
Does Bean.
You're a member as well, yeah. Bean?
Yeah, we
are brothers.
We used to. We used to marry. I mean, we probably did. What do you think, Lisa? A dozen marriages, probably back in the 90s. I bet we did.
Yeah.
And then we just started feeling like we were just not like you're not taking your wedding seriously enough if you invite Kevin and Bean. So we just stopped doing it.
Did you go to the wedding? Did you officiate?
I went to Lightning's wedding.
Yeah, our former producer Lightning, Kevin and Bean married him.
Married him. That's
are you a member of the Universal Life Church?
No,
can
no.
you marry people?
Because no,
I would
I
like
can't.
To see that. You're married now. I'm Lisa May with Kevin.
Have you done a bunch of them, Kevin?
I did. I think I've done about 3 or 4 weddings at this point. It's fun, man. You're there for the beginning of somebody's journey and whatnot. And the way we used to do it at Smodcast, we conducted it like an interview podcast. So it was called Smarriage. And people would sit there and like we'd do, how'd you meet? And tell an hour-long story at the end of it. Then we'd whip a little marriage on them. It was cool.
That's kind
of
neat.
It's a nice little souvenir to have for the rest of your life or until you get divorced.
Yeah.
You
know?
I don't remember what the specifics are, so I probably shouldn't bring it up. But also what stopped us doing the marriages is one of our couples ended very badly. Lisa, maybe you remember the guy like abandoned her and was never seen again or never found again. I mean, walked out the door one day and never came back, and she sort of blamed us. I don't know.
I don't remember that.
We're just like, we don't want to be any part of this.
Broke my heart.
Wow.
Right.
It turns out that the rest of the world hates Tadolf Swindler as much as I do.
How dare you?
She's the daughter of Satan, as you all know, besides being a country and western singer. Is she even considered country singer?
No, anymore? She's pop. Yeah. She's a pop singer.
She's never, ever, 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 ever going to be a country singer.
She is the worst-selling cover for magazines.
Really?
They did a study, and they found that celebrities that beat out Taylor Swift, like Lauren Conrad, Zooey Deschanel, Scarlett Johansson, all better selling cover models than Swift. She's one of the worst selling cover stars at newsstands.
Well, they should put them on.
If your magazine has her on the cover, they've did a study over a 15-month period, sales will drop about 20% when she's on the cover of your magazine.
No kidding.
I gave this some thought, Ralph, and I think she's so overly exposed that what's the incentive to buy another magazine with Taylor Swift on the cover?
I agree.
Almost,
nope,
can't get away from
that
stories
doesn't work
about
that
her.
Way.
Look at Jennifer Aniston.
Look at Kim Kardashian. Look at Bieber. I mean, all of these people are well overexposed, and yet those magazines continue to sell. People recognize the innate evil inside of her and try to stay away from it.
Do you think the sale of a magazine has that much to do with who's on the cover?
I do.
Really?
I think it's
the
an
impulse buy.
The
magazine industry does.
I think it's an impulse buy. If you're at the checkout at your supermarket and you see a face, you go, oh yeah, I would like to read about that person, then you pick up the mag.
But when you see Tadolf Swindler, you're just like, no!
You get up
what
the
are
high
you
water,
read about?
Get up the
I bought
the
every
cross.
Single one of the magazines that she's on the cover.
Yeah, and all the pages
all
stick together.
Who are all these people buying magazines anyway? Use your iPad and your smartphones, people. It's ridiculous.
21st century.
And you know, I like Taylor Swift. Beyond cute. Yeah,
beyond.
She's really tall.
Yeah,
you know.
She is.
She's not
going to
go for me, that's for
no,
sure.
No, she's not, Rodney.
That's the only reason, though, because she's tall.
And good news for Bond fans. They have announced that the next in the series, the 24th James Bond movie, is on track to come to us within the next 3 years, they say.
So, that last one was astounding.
It was
I watched it again
film.
On a plane when I was flying back here the other day. Even in its cut form. It's a really fantastic flick.
It's great.
It's like the Batman of Bond movies, kind of.
Very much so. And, you know, it's funny. Nolan always said that his Batman was influenced by the Bond films. And now it looks like this Bond film had been very influenced by the Batman films.
And a snake eats its tail.
And so it goes.
And then poops out its teeth.
I don't think that's the end of
no?
that little accident.
My bad.
Sam Mendes, however, has said he will not direct the next film. So he did
that's
Skyfall,
a loss.
Of course.
He did a great job, man.
Daniel Craig is on board for the next 2 films, however, so you will see him once again. And Craig's now in his mid-40s. You know, 2 more films. He's going to be approaching Roger Moore territory. Yep. They're going to have to reboot.
They're going to Brosnan him out of there, aren't they?
They're going to get a new guy. They're going to have to. They're
going
to have to Brosnan him out. Today's celebrity birthdays. Director Spike Lee is 56 years old today. What's the last thing he directed?
He did the Red Hook, I think it's called, wasn't it? A movie set in the old neighborhood.
Yes.
And it was a smaller film. Yeah. Like,
the last thing I saw him do was that thing he did for paid TV on Katrina. Yeah.
The big
documentary thing. That was great.
Yeah. 56 years old. Kathy Ireland, former supermodel, actress, TV personality, businesswoman. She's 50 years old. She's done an amazing thing with her voice. Have you ever noticed that, how she's changed her voice?
Mm-mm.
No.
If you watch early in her acting career, she had a high, reedy, unlistenable voice. And they came to her and said, you'll never be able to do anything if you keep talking
no
like that.
No spokesmodeling for you.
And she actually went to a place where they talked her down. They taught her how to use her voice. And now she's like, hi, I'm Kathy Ireland.
No, I didn't
so
know
So they
that.
Hammered out her individuality, Ralph.
Exactly, Kevin.
Keep it up, Ireland.
Again, they forced her into a mold and they spit out something we find palatable.
Could I do that, Ralph? Is there any way I could not have this weenie girl voice?
No.
And talk like a man?
You're stuck with yours.
Weenie girl voice.
Chester Bennington of Linkin Park's 37 years old. Michael Rapaport, very talented actor from Boston Public. And Mighty Aphrodite is one of my favorite performances by Rapaport. 43 years old. Bianca Lawson from Pretty Little Liars and Vampire Diaries is 34. Louis Vito, pro snowboarder, celebrates his 25th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. He was Kevin Smith. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, give me some of that Doctor Who theme, would you please? Real quick, Ralph, before our guest gets in here. What's happened so far on Doctor Who?
All right. Let's start 1962, I guess it is.
Okay, good. Go.
So, anyway, there's a war between the Time Lords and the Daleks, okay?
You know what? Let's pass.
The planet of Gallifrey is
decimated. That's fine.
And there's one Time Lord that is able to escape, the last of his race.
Sure.
Okay. So, here's the thing. They don't really die. They regenerate, okay?
Of course they do.
And he's done that about 11 times now. And now he's still flying around in the TARDIS, which is, of course, a police box, which is much larger on the inside than it is on the outside.
Obviously. And
traveling through time and space, saving various civilizations and planets, including Earth many, many times.
That's the same plot as Rules of Engagement,
yes,
Ralph. What are you trying to pull here?
It's a sitcom, basically.
And this is Doctor Who?
Exactly.
Yes, exactly. Jenna Louise Coleman joins us in studio. She is the companion to the Doctor on BBC America with a new season starting up here for us on Saturday, March 30th. Season 7, Part 2, I'm told. Hi, Jenna Louise, or should I just call you Jenna?
Oh, Jenna, yeah. Hi.
Hi,
welcome.
Jenna.
So good to see you. By the way, I'm looking at a cover of this week's brand new Entertainment Weekly. They just publicized this morning. It's not even out on newsstands yet, but you are on the cover. You and Doctor Who are on the cover of the new
Matt.
EW.
Matt,
congratulations.
Thank you. We're so pleased. All of us. We're brilliant.
You know, Doctor Who, of course, a huge phenomenon in the UK for, as I mentioned, 40 years or so. In America, it's always been sort of a cult favorite, but now, since, I guess, David Tennant, and then with Matt taking over, it has sort of become this huge phenomenon again in the States. So it must be very gratifying for you guys to have it be such a hit over here.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And I think, Matt, you know, it's one of the things Matt's most pleased with since he took over. And it's just great to come over here and, you know, and see people kind of really engaging with the series and you know, being recognized on the streets and kind of starting to see and feel people's excitement about the series as well.
Now, there's an enormous amount of pressure anytime they change a cast member on the show, because people get very attached, not only to the doctors, but to the companions as well. I know Matt had to deal with it when David Tennant was very popular with the fans, had to take over, and people were saying, oh, this key's a kid, he's too young, this is crap, what are they doing, they're ruining the show, and now he's the most popular doctor in the history of the run.
Yeah.
Karen Gillian, who played Amy Pond, was a very popular companion. She has since left the show. They bring you in. What kind of pressure is on your shoulders when you find out initially, I mean, I know you've shot a bunch now, but when you found out initially that you were going to play the companion, what was that like for you?
I think it's kind of, you know, you don't want to take a job on and a job that people, you know, have invested in so much unless you kind of feel like you're up to the job. And, you know, you kind of have those first day nerves, but as soon as you open a Stephen Moffat script, kind of all of that goes out the window because you just can't wait to do it.
The writing is pretty brilliant.
It's brilliant. Yeah. And it's just, it's so limitless what you can do on this series. So every episode is so different and it's just exciting and, you know, the stuff that we get to do day to day is unlike any other job.
I think that is one of the strengths of the show, is that you're traveling from Victorian England to the Wild West. I mean, you can go to any time or place in the universe, literally, and it makes the show, it gives an enormous amount of range. It can be a serious drama one week, and the next week it's a very funny comedy. I mean, you really do have a lot of opportunities with the show, right?
Yeah, and we have directors in and out, so each director gets their own episode. So within that, you can get a totally different feel and a totally different tone. And I don't, like you say, I don't think there's many shows that can do that.
There's a great deal of secrecy involved. This is one of those shows that likes to save the surprises for the screen so the fans find out about it. And you've probably had to sign some sort of oath in blood to not reveal things, I imagine. I mean, I understand even when you were auditioning, like, people couldn't even know what you were auditioning for, right?
No, we had lots of code words. So my code word was, hi, I'm here to audition for Men on Waves.
Men on Waves? Yeah. Oh, that sounds like a gay porn movie about sailors.
It does. almost 50 years, the show has been on the air almost continuously in Britain. Is that the case? Or it had patches where it went away for a while and then came back, right?
Yeah, so when I was growing up, Doctor Who was off air, and then it came back. It was like relaunched in 2005.
So you weren't really a big Doctor Who fan, I guess,
no.
Because you didn't really grow up with it like so many did.
I was denied that in my childhood.
Which probably worked to your advantage. You weren't as intimidated as someone might have been if they had known about the history and had been immersed in it for all those
years. You know, my grandma's always got something to say about it, and my auntie used to hide behind the sofa, like, watching the Daleks. So it's very much in our history, in our heritage. But it's great because auditioning, I didn't know too much about Matt as the Doctor. So that when I first met him and he was doing his complete Doctor thing all around me, I was kind of totally thrown, so everything I prepared went out the window, and then we kind of played. So it was brilliant to not know him as the Doctor.
Well, that's what Osmond would feel like anyway if she met him, not having an idea of meeting this strange man for the first time. And your character is fascinating to many of us who are hardcore fans, because we've been introduced to you now twice in two different worlds, in two different timelines. Mm-hmm. And you've gone away in both of them, and yet you're coming back again, and you're going to be the companion.
Yeah, she's the woman twice dead and the impossible girl.
Yes, exactly. And that's a great way to start. You've already got so much mystery and intrigue built in that I think many of us can't wait to see what happens.
Yeah, I think that's the brilliant thing. Like you say, bringing in a new character into the show is hard. So I think Stephen's done the best thing that he could in being very clever by creating this mystery and this intrigue. And it wasn't how it was supposed to be at first. It evolved during the audition period. I came in to play a governess, a Mary Poppins-esque governess, which was to be the character full time. And then as we were auditioning, Oswin was already written, and then it all just kind of got pieced together. And it goes over next series, and we get like a huge payoff at the end of the series.
When we first met you trapped inside the Dalek, was that the origin of Oswin? That's how she was supposed to be introduced, or was that added later?
Oswin was a guest role originally, and I was auditioning for the companion, and that was already written.
Oh, I see.
And then basically the clogs were turning with Stephen, and then he pieced this story together by having me be Oswin, and then... You know,
to have you introduced early on where Amy was still a part of the series and everything was very clever, I think, because it helped make that transition easier.
Yeah, and we kept it a surprise. I was like under lockdown in the studio, and it didn't get released, and we did screenings all over and in New York, and nobody tweeted it. Everybody kept it a surprise. So, you know, for real fans, it was amazing.
It was great, very exciting.
You're on a show that has its own language to some extent. I mean, do you find yourself in an elevator or on the subway trying to explain what a Dalek is to somebody who's sitting next to you? And people often come up to you with questions.
I kind of just direct them to Stephen. I'm like, that's a Stephen question. But in interviews, I find myself, when talking about episodes, getting myself in a bit of a twist because I try to, like, talk about the relativity of time. So, and then it's like, don't go into that stuff.
No.
You know, we're set here and we're doing this and we're being chased by this. Keep it simple. Otherwise, you find yourself, you know.
It does make a brain cramp a little bit when you try to start to think about how you've gone through time and back and forth.
Exactly.
And there's so many questions because you've already faced... some of the biggies already. The Daleks, you've already been involved with those. The Weeping Angels, you've dealt with those. I believe the Cybermen are coming up for you, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of, talk about another language. You guys have no idea what I'm talking about.
No clue.
But these iconic villains that you've sort of been faced with, I think it's a great way to introduce the character because it throws you right into the middle of the mythos and the mythology of the show and puts you right there.
Yeah. We've got the Ice Warriors coming back as well. It's another new one in the series. We have a new villain called the Whisperman.
Whisperman.
Yeah.
The Whisperman, the Ice Warriors, the Weeping Angels. What the hell's going on right now, Ralph? Where are we talking
about? You're missing out. If you're not watching Doctor Who on BBC America, you're missing out. It is a brilliant, brilliant show. It's the best kind of sci-fi for me. It's like Fringe was, like the X-Files was for me. It's about people that you care about in these ridiculous situations, but you follow each and every week because you desperately care about them and you want to
see
what
happens.
But
this March 30th episode that's coming up, the return of the show, it sounds like this might be a good place for a lot of new people to jump in because it starts in modern day London, which sounds like a kind of an easy way to introduce yourself to it.
Yeah, it's kind of Doctor Who's take on James Bond, a kind of contemporary urban thriller, but very much Doctor Who's take.
Who wins between James Bond versus Doctor Who?
Oh, Doctor Who.
Really?
Well, first of all, you can't kill him. He regenerates, and he's got the sonic screwdriver. Right?
I forgot about the sonic screwdriver.
You forgot about that, didn't you?
Our guest is Jenna Louise Colbert here on The Kevin and Bean Show, BBC America. Doctor Who returns on Saturday, March 30th. Many more questions, of which a lot of them I will not understand, but we're going to try after this on the World Famous Gay Rock. Even though she is talking to us with that fake British accent, I love this Jenna Louise Colbert. She is adorable, Ralph. I am enjoying this very much. She is on Doctor Who. Season return is coming up on Saturday, March 30th at 8. A couple of quick questions for you guys. The Doctor Who is a real doctor?
No, he's, well, I guess he is, but not.
Is he
not
a medical doctor?
Not in the conventional sense. No, he's not a medical doctor per se.
He's one of those just smart doctors, a doctorate of something. Okay,
yeah,
and why?
I don't think he actually went to a college or anything. Bean.
Oh, he did.
It's not important.
Why do they call him a doctor then?
Because
he's a doctor of the universe.
There you go. Yes.
Now, Jenna, why are you a companion in quotes to the doctor and not just some hoe? What's the deal? Is there a romantic relationship there ever between the companion and the doctor?
There has been in Doctor Who history, and I think there's always a kind of a frisson kind of between the doctor and his companion, and a certain amount of kind of flirtation and teasing. But I think really it's based on friendship. I think when you go every week saving each other's lives and saving the universe week to week, it kind of is based on friendship, really.
Well, the doctor loves humans. He loves them. Probably his favorite race in the universe are the humans. And he likes to have one.
That's a compliment to us.
He likes to have one with him because it keeps him sort of grounded and keeps him in connection with his emotions. And, you know, if you're immortal, if you've seen everything and done everything and you're going to live forever, you can lose perspective sometimes. I think it's why he's glad to have someone traveling with
him. It's like taking a child with you to Disneyland.
Exactly. You get to see things through their eyes.
Yeah.
Reminds you of your morals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In particular, though, with this current doctor and this current companion, they're both, you know, they just happen to be both, you know, age-appropriate, young, pretty people. It would seem like it would just make sense that they would fall into each other, you know?
Not really, because here's the other thing. He has to remember always when he establishes relationships, especially with humans, that their shelf life is, you know, 60, 70, 80 years maybe,
and his is
infinite. So everyone that he loves and cares about eventually dies while he keeps going forward.
It's kind of heartbreaking.
And that is sort of the core of the character. He has this essential sort of loneliness and singularity that makes him unique in the universe because he's the last of his kind, and he knows that he's going to outlive everyone else that he comes across. So there's a sadness about all of that, too.
Also, Matt's doctor is slightly asexual.
Yes,
really.
True. Yeah.
His kind of any kind of like flirtation, he just won't get it. He's like a little bit clumsy, you know. So if he wouldn't realize he's on a date if he's on one.
Yeah. He's my kind of people.
It's like his Asperger's syndrome.
Maybe Asperger's, actually, maybe. Yes. All right, let's talk about this episode that we're all going to promise to watch March 30th. It's called The Bells of St. John. This is modern-day London. It has something to do with the Wi-Fi. What's going on, Jenna?
Oh, yeah, so there's something in the Wi-Fi. This is our villain of the week, and people are disappearing. They're getting uploaded by a spoonhead.
Oh, the
obviously.
What the hell is she talking about?
Hey, that could happen, Lisa. You don't know.
Here's the thing,
Lisa. You don't
know,
man, because you weren't there.
That's right. All you need to know, Lisa, is that each and every week they introduce you to a new villain that the doctor has to face that is usually going to result in the end of whatever civilization or planet they're on at that time. And it's how clever he is and how he battles them and how he comes out victorious.
And do they all have evil names like Spoonhead?
Many of them do have very, very odd-sounding, clever evil names. But the nice thing about Jenna's character is that we've met her already in two incarnations that she's passed away in. And then at the tail end of the Christmas episode, we got a little tease of seeing you walking through the cemetery where you
passed my own
past your own grave where you died in Victorian times.
But she's a human.
Yes, she's died. Exactly. So how does she keep coming back?
This is the kind of the key to the series.
And that's what fascinates the doctor. He says, I have to find this girl because I've met her twice already and she's died both times. She is the impossible girl. I have to find out what she's all about. So he's intrigued with her as much as she will be by him when she meets him. So you get to meet the doctor all over again in this episode, right?
Yep.
For the third time.
A new TARDIS scene, entering the TARDIS for the first time. You open, you know, the phone box and it's a spaceship.
Yeah. It's so massive on the inside and
it's
about 4x4 on the outside.
I rented Entering the TARDIS over the weekend.
Stop it.
All right, let's hear a little bit of the trailer from this episode. Tell me this doesn't sound cool.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Through all of time and space, the unknown is everywhere. You have no idea what you are dealing with.
Good job!
Are we going to be okay?
Right. On March 30th, the Doctor sets off.
Where do you want to go? Hey, what do you want to see?
On an epic journey.
Hang on! What are you, eh? A trick? A trap?
That could cost him everything.
I am the doctor, and I am afraid.
Hello.
Oh, the doctor's never afraid.
Uh-oh. I like it.
That bothers me. That
March
30th,
BBC America. Jenna, you are adorable. Please move to America and do traffic for the Kevin and Bean Show, would you?
I think she's got a job, Bean.
I think she has a better job.
Thank you so much for coming in. We really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So ho, and then hey, I think I got it. Lumineers here on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Hey, keep listening for your chance to win those System of a Down tickets. We are taking care of you as they come to the Hollywood Bowl on July 29th. You are qualifying also to see them play in Milan, Italy. And tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, a couple of the guys from System of a Down will be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour. So this time tomorrow, if you're a System fan, you definitely want to be listening. I think John is coming in Chavo. We love those guys. Wednesdays are very cool if you're an Adam Carolla fan because you get a chance to not only watch him live on the Video Podcast Network if you're at home, but you can also see him in person if you want to head down to the Amalfi Ristorante on North La Brea Avenue in Los Angeles. Adam and his special guest Dave Demichek are going to be there tonight at 7 o'clock. You can show up in person, first come, first served, to watch the live podcast. Doors open at 5:30, and Adam, you're going to have the mangria there for everybody to taste as well, right?
Yes, I is.
That's good stuff. Listen, I wanted to ask you before we get into the Week in Rages. You know I'm a big fan of the podcast. I listen as much as I can. And I heard you last week when you were playing back the audio of your first appearance on the David Letterman Show from back in 1999, which was what a blast to hear that tape again, right?
Yeah. I remember I called you guys on the flight home and got yelled at by the stewardess.
That's right, you did. That's right.
Yes.
But you said something on the show. At the end of the show, Dave says, thanks for coming. Nice to meet you, Adam. Stand by for our musical guest, James Brown. And I was thinking how crazy that you were on the Letterman Show with the Godfather of Soul. Did you get to meet him is what I wanted to know.
He was, you know, locked in his room with his entourage, and, you know, I may have walked past him. Like, I didn't hang out with him.
It wasn't you guys hanging out in the green room, like, swapping stories, waiting to go on Dave, right?
Yeah, it's weird. Letterman is weird because you don't, you know, when you do Leno or you do, I guess when you do Kimmel, I don't know because I'm different with Kimmel. But, I mean, like, if you do Leno comes by and says hi to you before the show, and then you say hi to the other guests, and everyone kind of says hi. And when you do Letterman, you don't see him until you walk out on stage, and then you don't see him after. And you sit in a really little room, like up on the third floor in Manhattan. Like, you're sequestered.
It's like being on a jury is what it sounds like.
It's really weird, so you don't see anyone. Everyone else... All the other guys come by and go, hey, thanks for coming on. Have fun out there. Appreciate it. I loved your book. You know, the part that our assistant told him about. And that's about it. But Letterman, you never see him before or after. And I didn't even know where James Brown was because it's like multiple floors and all that kind of stuff. But so weird for me, obviously, you know my past and where I come from.
Yeah, you mentioned on the show that you were 3 years away from swinging a hammer, and now you're the lead guest on Letterman, right?
And why James Brown, a guy I've been watching for 25 years, is coming on after me, I have no idea.
Yeah, it was crazy. Well, it was great tape. I know one of your super fans came up with that tape. I had not heard it in a long time, but it was super, super fun.
Like I said, the thing I never forget about that is when I was flying home, I think I had agreed to call into the show.
Yeah, because we were all excited for you because someone we knew was a guest on Letterman. This was long before Jimmy had ever done it.
Right. So I went to the back of the plane, and I got on the phone that was in the back of the plane by the bathroom, and I stood there, and we were on the air, and the stewardess came by and said, you need to sit down because they put the fasten the seatbelt things up. And I went, just give me one more second. We're wrapping up. And she goes, you need to sit down now. And I said, I remember she got so pissed off because I said, well, you're standing, aren't you? Like, how bad can it be? Because the person that's telling you it's too dangerous to be standing is standing, telling you how dangerous it is to be standing.
And let's remember, this wasn't superstar Adam Carolla. This was the guy who might have seen on MTV's Love Line. So he wasn't famous enough for Don't You Know Who I Am. He pretty much just had to hang up and sit down, right?
We got into it a little bit, and then I sat down.
All right, AdamCarolla.com. If you want more information about the event tonight, but you should definitely go see Adam in person at the Amalfi and all the upcoming shows, including the Dr. Drew reunion tour. Right now, though, it's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, Well, starting with, I don't know, 2.5 and working to 1. I'm hungover, I got to be honest with you. I went out last night with the aforementioned Jimmy Kimmel and Cousin Sal and Carson Daly and the usual crew because James Baby Doll Dixon was in town. And that's our agent. And then Cousin Sal does what he does to Baby Doll every time, which is because Baby Doll's buying, he tries to run up the score. And it's one of these rich white guy problems, but Baby Doll is Jimmy's agent, and he's Jon Stewart's agent, he's Stephen Colbert's agent, he's Carson's agent. So he's got a little money floating around the ashtray of the BMW. And Cousin Sal's whole job is to try to get the check up past $2,500 for five people. So he keeps ordering, you know, Neptune's Pyramid and lamb shanks and bottles of champagne. And Sal doesn't even drink. But the problem is I do drink. And when somebody orders a $400 bottle of champagne, even though it's a joke, I can't just throw it out.
Sure.
I got to drink it. So the $250 bottles of wine keep coming, and the $400 bottles of champagne keep coming, and the bill before tip ended up around $2,400, but I ate like two sheeps and three or four bottles. Like, you could have christened me with the amount of champagne that I took in last night. So I'm a little hungover. But, and then all the dessert trays. It's the greatest day in the moment of a life of a waitress to see Baby Doll Dixon and his American Express black card and then Cousin Sal trying to break it.
Of course, yeah. Good times.
She just kept saying, like, bring another bottle, bring two more bottles. And it's the only time you've ever heard this conversation at the end of a very expensive evening, where the waitress is going, well, you ordered three bottles of champagne. And Cousin Sal's going, didn't we do five? No, you had three bottles of champagne, five bottles of red wine. I thought it was 5 and 5. You should just make it 5 and 5. She's going, you only ordered three. It's the greatest thing ever. Second only to Cousin Sal running into James Baby Doll Dixon's hotel room, grabbing everything that's in the mini bar and throwing it over the balcony.
Oh my God. He's unbelievable.
He can't stop wasting his money. And number 1.5 is I went to the Y the other day at 8 a.m. to watch my son not score any baskets. And I was walking into the Hollywood Y on Saturday at 8 a.m. to watch a game and saw the guy who was working out in full camouflage. And
oh,
I thought, what happened to this guy? Remember when everyone was wearing boots and working out in camouflage? And remember when everything was some sort of militaristic sort of assault on your abs? Remember all that weird early 90s, late 80s workout, camouflage stuff, Sister Soldier?
Hey, go to war against your fat, Ace. That's what he was doing.
I miss that guy. I miss the guy who worked out in camouflage and army boots. And say what you will about him, I'm sure he stinks to high heaven and is dateless on a Saturday night. Nobody F's with the dude who works out in camouflage.
That's true.
Nobody goes up to that dude and goes, hey, man, is that your Jeep parked down the parking lot? Because it's kind of hanging over into two spots. So you can just get off the elliptical and go out there and move.
Now, you give this dude a wide berth.
You work out in cami gear. No one will ever F with you.
That's a great tip. That's an outstanding idea. Don't miss Adam Carolla. He'll sleep it off, and he'll be fresh as a daisy tonight at the Amalfi Restaurant in Los Angeles. You can get all the details at adamcarolla.com. Have a great week, Ace Man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
Discover the Acura TL, recently named a 2013 IIHS Top Safety Pick Plus. Luxury, highly recommended. For great offers on the TL and other Acura models, visit SoCalAcuraDealers.com. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
I don't doubt that Lisa is a committed spokesperson to each and every product she reads. But do you think if you quizzed her immediately after the commercial, she would have any idea what commercial she just did?
Of course she does. Loves and knows all of these products.
Hacker, a top safety pick. What? Are you kidding me? IIHS.
Fire beer mug.
All right, you say so. What? I didn't hear anything. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Fire beer mug.
Ralph is here. Time for the showbiz beat. Then we'll talk to Cousin Sal about how to nail it in the NCAA March Madness bracket. He's the man. He's the guy I'm going to go to. He's the guy I trust, by the way, when it comes to filling out my bracket. But he's got even another new way to make money this year.
Put all of your money on the LaSalle Explorers. I'm telling you
right now. Is that where we're headed? That's where we're going?
Tonight's game one against Boise State. Just put it all on the Explorers, baby, to go all
my,
the way.
My college is in the NIT, and I am boycotting it, therefore, because it's too embarrassing that you can't make the top 68.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, the University of Maryland, not so much this season. All right, time for the showbiz beat now. Here's Ralph.
What did you graduate with from that school again?
I did not graduate.
I'm a dropout. Okay, yeah. Dropout. Okay.
I went 2 years. But I can still love my Turtles, right?
Two-year man. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, believe me, I know. It's a shame that I carry with me my whole life.
I just, I don't care about anything. I just want Jen Louise Coleman back. That's all.
She's adorable.
Yes.
She's the best. I'm just going to be here. I'll sit here sad for a while. She's a companion. You don't understand what it means to meet a companion.
You're right. Yeah. We don't understand.
You don't get it. I can tell by the way you people are reacting. All. You don't realize we had one of the companions in the studio.
No, we were happy to meet her. She's a very nice lady. I'm sure she's a fine actress, and it's a good show. But you're right. We don't have the long-seated love for the companion that you do.
She's the companion.
She is?
It's an honor. It's like being Miss Universe or something. All right, let's talk about another spectacular woman. This is Kate Upton. She's a good deal. Let's say you're a nerdy little high school senior who can't get a date for the prom. Well, what do you do? Naturally, you go on YouTube and you ask Kate Upton to be your date to the prom.
And then you don't hear from her, and that's how it should have
worked. She laughs at you and points and says you probably have a small winky, and you cry in your room, and you go away, and you don't go to prom, and you start cutting.
you're definitely not shooting too high if you ask Kate Upton to your high school prom.
Any one of us would have the wherewithal, the self-awareness to know that we have no business asking Kate Upton to our prom. But this nerd didn't. Jake Davidson's his name. He put on a YouTube prom proposal asking Kate Upton to come with him. Here's a little audio from just a segment of his video.
Now, Kate, don't get me wrong. We have our commonalities. You like fine dining. I like fine dining. You're on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I read Sports Illustrated.
You're a supermodel. I make models of various science fiction characters in my room.
Nice to hear from Roland. He put a little effort into the video. He's got his buddy handing him his robe and his flowers for her and everything. Yeah. I mean, he looks like a nice, earnest kid, but Lisa's right. She should absolutely not respond in any way.
Well, she did respond.
Don't encourage him.
She did respond. She tweeted at Jake yesterday. He says in the video, so Katie, oh, should I call you Kate? She tweeted back, you can call me Katie if you want.
Oh, come on.
How could I turn down that video? I'll check my schedule, she wrote Jake Davidson. So the Today Show talked to Jake, and they were talking about this highly viewed video on YouTube. And as a surprise to him, they had Kate Upton call in to the interview. And she said she would definitely go with him as long as her schedule allows. She will take him to his prom on May 23rd.
That's bullshit.
So now she's busy asking her agents to book something for May 23rd. Isn't there a car wash opening I could do or something on the 23rd? What do you mean I'm available? Book me something. I'm Kate Upton.
I just think that look, it's awesome for that kid if he gets to meet Kate Upton, but doesn't it just throw the entire prom into disarray? Now all of a sudden it's not about a prom for those kids anymore. Yes. It's about a big celebrity invading their high school, right?
Right. You need security and you need... You need metal detectors.
And I'm not happy if I'm one of the girls in that class. Because no one's looking at me that night.
That's right, yes. No matter how good you look in your dress, girls, you are not going to be the center of attention.
Don't even bother.
Interesting casting news in television. James Woods has joined the cast of Showtime's new summer series, Ray Donovan, which premieres soon. I can't wait to see this show.
That looks good.
Looks awesome. Liev Schreiber. Stars as a fixer, as they say, a guy who works for Los Angeles celebrity clientele, making their problems go away. Looks like he's got a complicated home life as well. His dad, played by John Voight, is sort of an ex-con who comes back into his life and starts wreaking havoc. And James Woods has just joined the cast. He will play a family friend on that show. So, yeah, Liev Schreiber, James Woods, and John Voight all on the same show.
Yeah, not too bad.
That ain't too shabby.
Too many good shows on TV these days.
Bad casting news for NBC, which is already struggling in the ratings. They had a new comedy in the works called Girlfriend in a Coma, about a girl who gets pregnant in high school, then goes into a coma, then wakes up to find she has a 14-year-old daughter.
Oh, wow.
Played by iCarly's Miranda Cosgrove.
Ann Cusack and Daniel Stern were going to play the girl's parents, who have been raising Miranda since mom has been in a coma. When she comes out of it, she's saddled with a teenage daughter, which is a surprise to her. Everything in her memory, she feels like she's still a teenager. Now she's in her mid-30s, and she's got a teenager of her own.
That sounds interesting.
It does sound like an interesting comedy based on a very popular book. Christina Ricci was set to star, but she has since quit the show.
Uh-oh.
Which does not bode well for the show, I'm guessing.
No.
No word on why Christina has left, but she has. Now they're looking to recast and get things back on track. So,
give it to Christina Applegate. They ran her off the other NBC show. She sounds like she'd be good for this one.
Put her in this one. How about Lindsay Lohan? How about Lindsay? How about Lindsay for that role?
If you only want one episode to be shot, yeah.
I believe
she quits.
Lindsay would drink herself into a coma or something and wake up with a child because she was knocked up in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard, I've been fascinated with how low NBC has gone. I don't know if you've been seeing the same stories I have, Ralph. I mean, besides being the fifth place television network behind Univision and the other, you know, the other big four, Saturday Night Live is their highest rated show, first of all, which is just insane. The Nightly News with Brian Williams, most nights, is the highest rated show on the channel. It's higher rated than all of their primetime schedule.
I know, it's crazy.
I mean, you've never seen numbers this low on a network. It's just crazy.
No network has gone through this. I mean, they all, in their day, have taken turns at the bottom of the top three.
Sure. You have soft seasons, but nothing like this.
This is unheard of. So I know
they're going to give Carson Daly like a house made of diamonds to live in to get that voice on the air full time, aren't they?
Whatever it takes. Something people are watching. And since we're talking about low ratings, HBO has officially canceled its series Enlightened. After two critically acclaimed but very low-rated seasons. I don't know.
Has anyone checked on Patton Oswalt to see how he's doing?
Never even seen that show.
I did.
Laura Dern
starred
in the show, along with Diane Ladd, Luke Wilson, Tim Sharp, Mike White, yeah. Averaging 200,000 viewers per episode.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Which is low even for HBO standards. So they're letting that go after two seasons.
I gave this a lot of thought yesterday because I know that the people who were watching it loved it. But it is a business, and I don't know that HBO has the, you know, it's not on them to pump a bunch of money into a show that the public is roundly ignoring.
And HBO has more leeway than most because they are not living and dying by ratings. What they want to do is create interesting program that drives subscribers. They want people to sign up and say, I have to get HBO because I don't want to miss out on fill in the blank, Sopranos or whatever was the popular show in the day.
Right.
So they need to find stuff that has more water cooler talk, and Enlightenment wasn't getting it done.
I mean, something like Girls, it's not a huge numbers hit, but it gets them a ton of press. I mean, it's serving its purpose for attracting, you know, talk about the channel.
People want to tune in. Today's celebrity birthdays.
Birthday.
Yeah, birthday.
It's my candle-blowing birthday.
Candle-blowing birthday. Right.
Tell it, millionaire. You tell it.
If you don't sing, you don't get no birthday cake.
That's what I've heard.
Spike Lee's 56 years old today. Kathy Ireland, former supermodel, actress, TV personality, clothing designer, furniture designer. What doesn't Kathy Ireland do?
Model.
She's 50 years old. Michael Rapaport, very talented actor, is 43. Cedric Yarbrough from Reno 911 and 40-year-old virgin is 40. Coincidentally, Chester Bennington of Linkin Park celebrates his 37th birthday today. And Bianca Lawson of Pretty Little Liars and the Vampire Diaries is 34. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:08. Lisa May, you know why it's the most wonderful time of the year?
Why?
That's right. March Madness is happening. The president has picked Indiana to win it all. Las Vegas odds makers seem to think Louisville is where you put your money. But I don't trust anybody except for our old friend, Cousin Sal from Grantland.com. Hey, Sal, welcome back to the Kevin Beach Show, my friend. How are you?
That's the spirit. Thanks for having me back, Bing. How are you?
Am I lying if I say that even for a sports fan, even for a guy who lives and dies with the Super Bowl and World Series and everything that goes on in the world of sports, this is still in some ways the most exciting time of the year, right?
I have to say, aside from all of the 21 NFL Sundays, this is my favorite time of year. I will
But is it also, are there so many variables involved in betting on college basketball that it's tougher than it is betting on the pros?
I think it is tougher. I do. And I look, you know me, I'm nuts. I'm not satisfied with just the point spread or the money line or whatever. I look for the weird ones, and I have one that I bet that there will be no buzzer beaters in the first, which is now the second round, the Thursday-Friday games. And I know that makes me an a-hole. That's I'm like the villainous guy who bets the no pass line and craps. But I bet against the buzzer beaters that there will not even be one. And
interesting.
Yeah, I go crazy for 2 days. It's really the best.
Who do you who's your team? Do you have one in your heart that you root for, like your school or anything?
You know, I went to college in upstate New York, so I follow Syracuse and I like them, but they don't have enough to cut it this year. I'm with the president with Louisville. He has Louisville getting to the finals but losing, right? Is that what you
right? Said? That's right. He's got Indiana to win it all, right?
All right. I have Louisville beating Georgetown. I like the Big East this year. Both those teams, Louisville and Georgetown, they won like 13 out of the last 14 to close out the season. That to me is the toughest conference anyway. So
before we get into why you're calling with FightClub.com, I have to ask, because you know I live in Seattle and we're going crazy for the Zags. A lot of people disagreed with Gonzaga getting a number one seed because how weak their conference is. What do you think of my Bulldogs?
I think that the regular season speaks for itself, and you have to give them a one seed. They just didn't get tripped up enough in the regular season to put them any lower. That said, I don't think they played a team with good enough defense. If it works out that they play like Pitt in the second round, that'll be a tough defensive squad that they haven't seen in the regular season. So we'll learn a lot there. But I have them winning one game and then losing to Pitt. So I'm
yeah.
Sorry.
They played. I follow them pretty closely throughout the season, and they played schools I'd never heard of. Sal, that's kind of what their schedule was like.
Yeah,
so
I know it's bad.
What's FightClub.com all about? This is new this year, and I would like to stress for people who are getting nervous even listening to this conversation: completely legal.
Yes, completely legal. You're not going to get kicked in the head by an Ed Norton lookalike when you get on the site. No, it's a fantasy sport. I know you don't do fantasy sports, right?
Being no, because that's correct. That's correct.
What are your reasons? Why don't you like it?
It's just the main reason I have is because it drives me crazy to see people who are rooting for their opposing team's players because they've got them on their team. Now, I know this is a little bit different what we're doing with Fight Club, but that's kind of what turns me off to fantasy sports in general.
That bothers me too. That bothers me. The fact that it's all year long and you have to stay on top of injuries, that bothers me. The fact that some douchebag will offer you five of his crappy players for Adrian Peterson every week, that bothers me. FightClub.com, you don't have to worry about any of that. You don't even see the people you're playing. You put up anywhere, you play $2 to $500. You pick your favorite five players who are on the court that day in any game and put them up against your opponent's favorite five, and whoever scores the most points, rebounds, assists, blocks, steals, gets the money at the end of the day, and then you start all over again the next day against someone else. It's the greatest.
Now, are you your spokesperson for FightClub.com? Will you also be playing every day, Sal?
Yes, I'll be playing, and I guarantee all the money they're giving me to promote the site, I will dump back in there and lose. So, grab it from me. Believe it.
How do you, tell me how difficult this is. I mean, to pick the player with the most points off, you know, most teams have a star, but some of these things like assists and steals and blocks, it seems like it gets into a guessing game territory.
It does, but here's what I would say, and I'm going to give you a little hint. I like get the crazy white shooting guard from Belmont. Take him because he's going to want to show off, and they're going to lose by 20 in one of these games, but he'll put up 35 points. You see, that you have to look for the little nuggets out there. So your favorite players, the best players, maybe aren't going to put together the best games in the first round.
So you can take a look at the schedule to see who's playing tomorrow, and you can pick players from any of those teams, and you can wager on all five of those things that you mentioned, and then the computer matches you up with somebody else, and if you do better than that person, you win based on how much you put down. You can win a pretty good return on your bucks.
That's right. You really can't lose. Can I say that? No, that's not true. No, go in there. You'll win.
That's
money.
One thing I know about gambling sites is you can lose. So how do you get paid, Sal? Do they just pay you back in credit that you have to then reinvest, or can you cash out?
No, you can cash out immediately if you want.
Wow.
And unlike the others, this is completely legal. So I looked through it. It's the fantasy element and that it's spaced over multiple games makes it different from any other site. So
this is actually pretty sweet. This actually does sound like fun. I'm almost surprised that somebody hasn't done this before. FightClub.com. Now, Sal, before you go, how do you handle how many games are on in a given day and a given weekend? How many screens do you have going at all times around you?
It's very bad. First of all, I send the kids on a boat to Catalina. I don't even know if anyone's driving the boat. But I say, yeah, you have to get out of the way. Yeah, and I'm watching everything. You know, B, I have a crazy thing. I used to go to Vegas, and I'm going the second weekend this year. And I would bet the first team, you could bet the first team to 10 points. And this is an insane bet. And, you know, you're screaming at the top of your lungs for the first 3 minutes of the game, and everyone else is looking at you like you're a crazy person. And, you know, undoubtedly you'll have, no matter who you take, like even if it's Michigan over South Dakota State, and if you have Michigan, you will be down 9-8, and Michigan will have the ball. Every time, that'll be the situation. And then after like 3 minutes, you just leave. You walk away from the sports book, and people are scratching their heads.
Why have you not had a heart attack yet with the stress that you put on yourselves when you watch every single game, when you're so invested with each play, Sal?
I know. It's really stupid. Well, you jinxed me now, so it'll happen.
Well, I think it's awesome what you're doing. Again, fightclub.com. And as we mentioned, I mean, you can bet as little as what? Like $2. So you don't have to be in for a big nut or anything like that. And it sounds like a lot of fun.
$2. That's right.
All right. Cousin Sal, as you know, we love him. You can follow him on Twitter at TheCousinSal. Read his stuff on Grantland.com. And, of course, this website is fightclub.com. And see him with his real-life cousin, Jimmy Kimmel, on Jimmy Kimmel Live weeknights at 11:30 now on ABC. Thanks, Sal. Have a great tournament, man.
Thanks so much, man. Take care.
Fire beer mug. Fire beer mug.
Come on.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Who's with me? Right?
Come on.
Remember yesterday at this time, 24 hours ago on the Kevin and Bean Show, when you, and this is why we want a fire beer mug, you asked a very reasonable request of beer mug, which said, hey, play that new moment with from Kevin that we all enjoyed so much.
Was it my fault, Bean?
And what did beer mug say? Oh, I don't have it.
Doesn't
it wasn't even. It wasn't even produced.
It never happened.
Wasn't even my fault.
I'm not from this country.
How dare all of you?
I'm failing you again. You're asking me for a simple thing I should have, and I don't. Well, a mere 24 hours later, Ralph, here you go.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
George St. Pierre seems like he's been trying to take the top road, but I don't know that he's been able to do it.
That was a moment with Kevin.
You know why he's not able to do it, Kevin? It's because the top road isn't a thing. Doesn't exist. Can't go there.
Do you pass the top road on your way to the high road, though? Has that happened at least?
Oh, boy.
All right. Moving on. It's Wednesday morning. Ralph is here with our final look at the show, Bisbee.
Hey, I want to give you a heads up. If you want to see my heterosexual life mate, Kevin Smith, and his good buddy, Jason Mewes, they are doing their show, Silent Jay and Silent Bob Get Old, tonight at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood, California, tonight at 10 p.m. Only $20 to get in. You can go to CSMOD, SEESMOD.com to get your tickets for the show tonight. But I have seen the show, and it's very entertaining. It's largely about Jason's travels, getting sober, kicking heroin and other substances that he's had to overcome, and what that challenge has been like, and his relationship with Kevin for these many years, ever since they were friends as boys and through Clerks and all that good stuff. So it's a very entertaining show. Check it out at the Laugh Factory.
I've heard that he is a real jerk.
No, he is not. If he can put up with Bean's berating of him because of his weight, he can put up with anything.
I love Smith. You know that.
It was obvious. It was obvious the way you treated him today, that you're very affectionate towards him.
How dare you?
If you stood next to Louis Anderson, you'd look thin.
Is that true?
Yes.
Is that true?
But why would you say that?
That's more of an insult to Louis Anderson than it is to Kevin Smith.
Is it really?
Yes.
No, it isn't. Because
Louis Anderson is huge. Kevin Smith is not huge.
You have to find someone massive in order to look thin in comparison to that person. That's what you were saying.
How dare you?
He's going to have to endure 90 long days without any booze or drugs.
And the people in that rehab are going to have to endure her.
Wow. Can you imagine?
Whoa.
TMZ.com reporting that she is making the most of her last few nights of freedom. Was partying outside a Hollywood nightclub on Monday night. Right after the courtroom appearance. She ended up in a nightclub that evening. I heard she went out last night as well. Wearing a blanket over her head. Trying to get into the club so that no one would recognize her.
Hey, if there's one thing we learned from Justin Bieber in the gas mask, is that's the way to just blend in.
That's right. The army of paparazzi was waiting for her, so she changed her mind, apparently left and went someplace else. That's what I've heard. So she opted against the blanket disguise. Popular blanket disguise. Duck Dynasty. This is a phenomenon that is lost on me. But it is a very popular TV show. Phil Robertson, one of the stars of that reality show, is giving you his list of ways to meet the perfect woman. I guess a lot of people go up to Phil and say, hey, Phil,
from Duck Dynasty. How do I find love?
Well, he's popular because he's on television and is filthy rich, right?
So, people feel like he
knows stuff, right?
He's been married to his wife, Miss Kay, for many, many years. They got married when she was just 16.
Oh, wow.
16.
Yeah, that's unusual.
Well, not in the world of Duck Dynasty, I think.
Yeah.
They have a four-tooth minimum on that show.
So. or as they call him in his state, old maid.
Yeah. Here's the checklist for how to find the perfect bride.
All right.
You need to, number one, first and foremost, check a girl's cooking, he says. Find out how well she cooks.
Okay.
Check her cooking.
Okay.
Second, make sure she carries around her Bible.
Really?
Cooking, Bible. Got it.
Can it be on like an iPad or something, or does it have to physically be the book?
I think it's got to be the book.
Okay.
Long form. Find someone who is meek, gentle, and kind-spirited. You can push her around, you know? Threaten her with the back of your hand, and she ends up doing stuff.
Meek.
And, of course, loves to eat bullfrogs. That's a priority. Make sure you find someone who loves to eat bullfrogs. Listen, you bastards who are watching this show, this is who you're talking. This is who you're listening to. Married his wife at 16, eating bullfrogs.
Yeah, and it's crazy popular, this show.
9 million people watched the season premiere
yeah.
back in February, and the numbers have been pretty close to that ever since. So I'm in the wrong world.
Sounds like it.
I'm going to get in the TARDIS with Jen Louise and go traveling with Doctor Who and go to another planet.
To get in her TARDIS.
Stop it!
I'm not saying you be creepy to Jenna. Like on the show, I mean.
Do you have anything you want to talk about? Or?
Yes, I do, actually. Kate Upton is going to the prom with a nerd.
No, she's not.
Yeah, what's up?
This is giving nerds everywhere reason to believe. He put on one of those YouTube videos asking her to the prom. His name is Jake Davidson. He goes to Milken Community High School, which apparently is around here in Southern California someplace.
It's probably off the 10 freeway in Ontario where the Milken Street is.
Wow, Lisa.
Wow. Coming with, a little mistraffic.
Coming with the info. Here's a little piece of his YouTube proposal asking Kate Upton to go to the prom with him.
Now, Kate, don't get me wrong. We have our commonalities. You like fine dining. I like fine dining. You're on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I read Sports Illustrated.
So we have many things in common. You and I, Kate Upton.
If
when
world
you
were...
walk through a storm, hold your head up high.
If the world were a just place, she would have A, ignored him, or B, not ignored him, and instead sent a video back that saying, I wouldn't go with you if you were the last guy on Earth.
Yeah, she should have posted a video on YouTube saying, Jake, look at yourself.
Seriously.
Then
look at me, look at you.
Then look at you, and then once again look back at me, and then look at yourself again.
Don't get his hopes up. Make him think that he's got all that.
He asked in the video, so Katie, or should I call you Kate? Well, she responded via Twitter to Jake late yesterday. You can call me Katie if you want. Kate said she absolutely will be his prime date. Said as much on the Today Show when she phoned in while they were talking to him about his video and said that she absolutely wants to go as long as schedules permit. So he could be taking Kate Upton to his prom.
Meanwhile, Kate Upton won't even come on this radio show
to
do an interview.
That's right.
She might go to the prom with this kid. What are we doing wrong?
Can I get you some punch, or would you like perhaps a water, a sparkling water for you to go, okay, you and me dancing?
What kind of world do we live in?
Fire beer mug.
Yeah, exactly.
How does that keep...
That would make it a little bit better.
Doesn't.
And real quickly, congratulations to Bradley Cooper. I'm glad the man is happy. He's a good actor. He's a fellow Philadelphian. I appreciate him. He is
Oscar nominated.
He has finally found love, apparently. He's now dating British model Suki Waterhouse. And with a name like Suki Waterhouse,
it has to be good.
It's got
to
be good. He's 38. She's 20.
She's not even 21 yet.
Nope. And apparently they're very, very much in love. They were spotted sightseeing in Boston on Monday. I think he's shooting there.
Lisa, is there any way that's not creepy if he's 38 and she's 20?
Nah, it's too young.
You know, it's not
just
creepy.
Too young.
When she's a supermodel.
She can't even get into a bar to drink
she
yet.
She can go wherever she wants. Mm-hmm. She's her.
Creepy.
And he's him.
I think it's a little creepy. I'm a little uncomfortable with it as well.
If you're uncomfortable with it, they should immediately arrest him.
No, I'm just
you're
saying.
You're the barometer. You're the barometer of creep.
She might be lovely, but there have to be women who are over 20 that he could date, right?
I don't know.
Don't there? He's Bradley
22,
Cooper.
22, 23. Oh,
there's something about that 20-year-old.
I know. I get that.
Smells like the girls' room at prom night.
I know. She's a newborn lamb. I understand that. Right. But it's just I think I'm with Lisa.
Maybe that one of them virgin wool sweaters.
That'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
Can you pull up a picture of Suki Waterhouse beer mug? What am I doing? What am I thinking?
I'll get it. We don't have that.
You know
kind
how
of
speedy
time.
He is on the internet.
Right. Now he's looking at his email. He's literally on his email page.
My Google.
We're not even close.
Wow. Suki. Look at her. Yeah. She's a good deal.
Suki, yes. Waterhouse. Right there. It puts it underneath it. The minute you put in Suki, it had a click.
Boom.
Now images.
Boom!
There you go.
She's a good deal.
There she is.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's
all right. I take it back. It's not creepy at all.
She's all right. Look at that, Lisa.
No, he made the right choice.
She looks like a 60s model. She looks like Twiggy from 1967 or something. She's got that going on. She likes to get naked, too, apparently.
Fire beer mug.
Come on.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Spike Lee.
If you don't sing, you don't get no birthday cake. If you can't swear, you can't have no birthday
That's
cake.
Right, you can't swag.
If you can't swear, you can't have no birthday
you can't
cake.
Swag.
If you don't sing, you don't get no birthday cake.
You can't swag, you don't make it on the celebrity birthday list.
That's right, man.
All those stars who were born on March 20th, Spike Lee's 56 years old today. Kathy Ireland turns 50. Actor Michael Rapaport turns 43. Cedric Yarbrough, actor from Reno 911 and the 40-year-old virgin, he is 40 years old. Chester Bennington, our friend from Linkin Park, celebrates his 37th birthday.
Is he going to be screaming at somebody today?
I believe he will be. And actress Bianca Lawson from Pretty Little Liars and The Vampire Diaries, she's 34. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm kind of with Ralph, by the way. I really... I felt the air go out of my tires today when Jenna left. I think that was the high point of the show, is having her in from Doctor
she's
Who.
Just adorable.
Kind of miss her already.
She's just a little pint-sized basket of joy.
So nice. Yeah. So nice, too.
Very sweet.
Got to get her to come back tomorrow to start doing traffic for us.
She can. She lives in England.
We do have a terrific show planned for you tomorrow, including one of our very favorite comedians. He was on the bill for April Foolishness last year. Our friend Eddie Ift stops by tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Also, John and Shavo from System of a Down are going to be here ahead on sale for their tour.
You going to do that?
I'm sure they are. Hey, give me a beat. Good to see you. How you doing? Give me a beat.
Good morning. Thanks for coming in, guys. Thank you.
Got a brand new internet roundup for you. Our weekly visit with Dr. Drew on the program tomorrow. I'm excited about this phone topic because almost every one of us has had this experience where you just had a meltdown at work.
Yes. Like, for me, it's called a weekday.
Exactly. Yeah. You just lost it. I'll tell the story tomorrow, and it's been a while since we've talked about this. The show that got me so broken that I just, like a zombie, just walked out of the building and just never looked back.
Breakfast with being just walked out.
Yes.
Live,
that's right.
Live
just,
show. Live event.
Just left.
Just walked out.
Just left. Had to do it. Mental health break. Had to do it.
Consummate professional.
Got a great great story about how that played out with one of the characters at Disneyland, too, who just lost it, which I can understand if you're playing the freaking Tigger or something over there at Disneyland. That'd be a tough job, right?
Yes, indeed.
So anyway, we'll be taking your calls on that and hooking you up with more System of a Down tickets. It's all tomorrow right here on the World Famous K-Rock.